the Riff. 101.1 WRIF. Riff.
WRIF Detroit presents Night Call, the Riff's phone-in talk show with Peter Werby. To express your opinion, call 313-298-WRIF. Now, here's the host of Night Call, Peter Werby.
Yes, indeed. Peter Werby doing a little vacationing. He will be back with you guys next Sunday. I'm Mike McIntyre. How you doing? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF. Thank you to Ralph Dizzy and Jay Hudson producing the show this evening. Got a lot of stuff to talk about and hopefully some phone interaction happening this evening. After what has been a treacherous last couple of hours in terms of weather, and my God, as I explained last week, I know Peter from the sister station WCSX. We do some work together, so I drove up from Toledo tonight to be with you guys for the second time, and it is a real honor and a privilege to be sitting in Peter's chair until he returns from vacation next week. So 313-298-WRIF are the numbers, and we're going to have some fun tonight, and again, if we can get your participation, that would be cool. What I'd like to kick things off with tonight is something I found in one of the press clippings that I've been going through as I was kind of prepping for the show. It's called It's Your Money, He Just Spends It. So when George W. Bush submitted his whopping $2.57 trillion proposal to Congress last week, it showed how the war on terrorism has come home to roost. Both the Defense Department and Homeland Security Departments are getting boosts, while domestic programs for the poor, like vocational education and Medicaid, take a hit. Bush aides portray him as Dr. No, turning down pleas from cabinet secretaries. But He's not standing in the way of two juicy repeals on taxes on the wealthy, scheduled to take effect next year. Here's some of the losers, I think, with the budget cuts. And, of course, you got to look at number one being the biggest loser, Medicaid, which Bush has proposed a hefty cut. The federal-funded program spends about $199 billion a year on health care subsidies for those with little or no income. Bush claims he can shave off $60 billion over the next 10 years by closing loopholes in the fraud-ridden system. But independent analysts say the reduction is so large that states are going to be forced to cut medical benefits for the poor. Something to think about big time. Also, a little sneaky tax hike that's been put into place that'll take effect pretty soon to make consumers pay for a bigger share of airline securities. Bush wants to raise taxes from $250 to $550 on one-way flights. And finally, something a lot of people are talking about, even in the face of heated opposition from local law enforcement, Bush aims to cut $635 million out of the Justice Department program, and he wants to give more money to the FBI and Homeland Security to pay for such things as modernized equipment for the Coast Guard and additional intelligence analysts and border patrols. So we'd like to get your thoughts on that. If you want to give a call at 313-298-WRIF. Again, my name is Mike McIntyre, sitting in for Peter Werby. More on the budgets in terms of the rich, which actually punish the needy big time. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities informs us that even as the administration demands spending costs, it's still going to proceed with that phased out, little known tax provision that was put into place by President Bush, the first, that limits deductions and exemptions for high income households. More than half of the benefits from the backdoor tax go to people with incomes of more than $1 million. 97% would go to people with incomes exceeding $200,000. And it so happens that the number of taxpayers with more than $1 million in annual income is about the same as the number of people who have their food stamps cut off under the Bush proposal. And it's like that all the way through. It calls for making tax cuts for the wealthy permanent and for tax breaks for the affluent in the form of tax-sheltered accounts and more liberal rules for deductions. Now, the question is whether the relentless mean-spiritedness of this budget finally awakens us, the public, to the true cost of Mr. Bush's tax policy. So we're looking for phone calls, 313-298-WRIF. Also going to talk a little bit tonight about why Mr. Bush, President Bush, may possibly fail in Europe. A lot of things going on there with George W. Bush arriving in Europe next week, and the belief that the European NATO allies can be persuaded to turn away from the disagreements of the past and open a new chapter in transatlantic relations, as Condoleezza Rice advised them to do. Bush wants to help get more help from the Europeans in Iraq, Afghanistan, and probably in other places yet to be announced. European backing for American policy on Iran and no European arms sales to China. Those are really the priorities going on in Washington right now. And it's something to think about. First, you have to kind of define what the crisis is. As I think we all know, most Europeans believe either the global war on terror or the global war on tyranny is something that's really not as big of a deal as Washington wants us to think. And, of course, that American-led invasion of Iraq is widely regarded in Europe as irrelevant to the reality of terrorism, overwrought in scale, destruction, and perverse in its effect, vastly deepening hostility between the Western powers and the Muslim society. So, again, 313-298-WRIF, the numbers to call here in the studio as we continue to roll through what is night call here at WRIF. Peter, again, will be back next week and flying up from Toledo tonight. Don't know if you guys have hit the weather yet, but be safe out there because it is rather treacherous. So we're taking your phone calls, hoping that you'll do some participation on the show tonight. And we're just going to roll through for the next couple hours or so and talk about anything you want to. If you have union, some union things on your mind, if you want to talk about anything that's going on in the government, or if you just want to express your views, that's why we're here on this snowy winter evening. 313-298-WRIF.
You're listening to Night Call with Peter Werby.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Build it.
Won't you see there, fella?
Build it and they will come.
Speak up there, bud.
I said build it and they will come.
Well, you're a gall-darned idiot. If you think just because you build a Harley-Davidson dealership, folks will just show up, you got to give them what they want, for crying out loud. Out in Metro Detroit, this is Biker Bob, and I'm coming to Motown in March to bring you the newest Harley-Davidson experience.
Who's Biker Bob?
Oh, my gosh.
Biker Bob is coming to Detroit.
My new dealership is focused on one thing. Can do. Smiling faces serving all your Harley-Davidson needs, from sales to rentals, service to stores, orange clothing to chrome. Biker Bob has everything you need to keep you on the open road with the sun kissing on your face and the wind pushing your backside. Biker Bob's is always a fun place to hang out all summer long with good times guaranteed. Listen right here on WRIF for my 60-second late-night radio talk show for advice on your motorcycle questions. We're coming to Detroit March 4th, 2005. If you want more info, you can jump onto that there World Wide Web at www.bikerbobsharley.com.
It's coming to the Novi Expo Center on Saturday, April 2nd, the 4th Annual Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by your Detroit Dodge dealers. If you own a company or retail shop such as a skate shop, men's clothing store, fitness and health, tax service, sporting goods, jewelry store, music and entertainment, furniture, golf, gadgets, or anything that interests men, this is your opportunity to introduce your product or service to thousands of metro area men. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. Many special features and attractions will be announced soon. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. You've got to be there. The Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by Dodge. Grab life by the horns.
This is WRIF.com.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We had Jamie Kennedy in studio, and he was telling us about his pre-celebrity days in Hollywood waiting tables.
I worked at this place called Veggie Gourmet. There was these two brothers that owned it, and they were from Brooklyn. They talk like this. You know, how you doing? But they were vegans, but they were like the Sopranos. And it was so weird.
You eat all the soy sauce. You ate all the soy tofu. Who would you eat the tofu for?
So Ron Jeremy would come in, and when he'd come in, they'd go, "Hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ron Jeremy."
And like they would clap for him. Like there was like one person in the room. Like it was Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
And then they turn to me. They go, "Hey, idiot." I go, "Treat Ron. Give him anything he wants. Okay? He's really good people."
So Hedgehog comes in. Ron would be on the phone and be like, he's like, "Yeah, hold on a second. Do you have organic apple juice? That's organic, right?" "All right, I'm going to have that." "Yeah, hold on. Okay, wait. What time is the orgy scene?"
Drew and Mike in the morning. Yes. The broadcast program.
On the Riff.
101-101.
Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tenney Street Roadhouse, located on West Village Drive in the heart of West Dearborn. Tenney Street Roadhouse features great American food and great American music.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Lunchtime rocks with the Doc.
You pick the Riff Rock.
You win the prizes.
It's the High Noon All Request Lunch Hour.
Weekdays at noon with the Doc of Rock, Doug Podell.
Only on 101
WRIF, Detroit's Rock Station.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We took advantage of our time talking to Al Roker from the Today Show to point out Matt Lauer's hair and how horrible it is. I can't look at him. He looks like horrible.
He's freaking everyone out, Al. You guys just don't know it.
Let me just check here. He's on TV. You guys are on radio. Let's see.
We
have I'm only good. No, look.
Al, we're just talking about his hair. We're not knocking the guy.
You do a focus group on this guy, and you'll find people hate his hair.
They don't hate his hair.
Yes,
nobody
they do.
Hates, they don't hate his hair.
Yes, they do.
They don't hate his hair.
They do.
I said they don't.
They do.
Don't.
Infinity.
Don't
infinity
do
plus one.
Super triple double infinity.
Drew and Mike in the morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Bellacino's Pizza and Grinders with 17 locations. Go to Bellacino's.com to find a Bellacino's near you.
Log on to www.WRIF.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Your chance to take control of the WRIF playlist.
With the guy who lost control a long time ago.
The Risk All Request Riff and Rock at 9 o'clock with Meltdown, the big unit.
Weekday nights at 9
on 101 WRIF.
Detroit's Rock Station.
Rock Station.
Rock Station.
Rock Station.
Rock Station. Rock Station. Rock Station. Rock
Station. Gucker, Gannon, Imbroglio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have this guy. Even before Talon was established as a news agency, he was being seated at the White House briefings. In other words, he went in there as a journalist without an organization.
Mm-hmm.
How in God's name do you do that?
You know,
and on a paper pass.
Right, exactly.
You know? And this went on for over a year of getting a daily pass every day.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they wouldn't issue him a permanent pass, supposedly. But he was wearing a permanent pass.
Right.
So can you imagine what would have happened if, say, Bill Clinton had planted a stooge in the White House briefings?
Oh, could you imagine the scandals? Could you imagine the newspapers? Could you imagine all of media? They would have went nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have had the entire... A roll call of Three Republics standing outside the White House screaming for his blood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, Mike, I appreciate your call and your thoughts, and thanks for kicking off the show tonight. And appreciate you being part of it. 313-298-WRIF, night call happening this evening. Mike McIntyre sitting in for Peter Werby. We're just throwing discussion around tonight as we jump back to the telephones. We're going to Melvindale. Tim, you there, buddy? Good evening.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Just getting through it. You know what I'm saying?
Good to hear a little different voice than Peter's.
Well, Peter's all good, though.
He's so left-wing every week.
Well, I sort of place myself in the middle because I'm not here to be Peter Werby. I'm kind of here to learn and to get a point of view from everybody that's out there doing what they're doing tonight in the Motor City and throughout the areas that hear the signal. So go ahead. Tell me what's on your mind.
Good deal. Good deal. Enjoyed your show last week.
Thank you.
Just a little brief thing here. Doing some research on the Civil War here.
Mm-hmm.
In the Battle of Antietam, one day we fought. We had a 23,000 casualties. We had over 5,000 killed and almost 18,000 injured. That was one day in one battle in our Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And you think here about every day how glorified this war is at Fox News this, Fox News that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really annoying. But people don't look in history and see how much war there's been. They just look at the present and say how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what I think. And the guy from Washington, D.C. calling you first, doesn't he have anything else to do?
I'm glad he's calling.
I
want people to be calling tonight. That's why I'm here.
I agree with you. And the people from California, I just don't understand. It's still 8 o'clock at night out there, and
mm-hmm.
You'd be doing something else.
Well, you know, everybody's got a right to an opinion.
Enjoy your show, Mike. Talk
Thank you.
Later.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you being part of Night Call tonight. 313-298-WRIF. Again, sitting in for Peter Werby. Peter's going to have some fun and I'm sure some great adventures for you coming up upon his return on Sunday. So, again, you know, basically I come up from Toledo, Ohio. My bread and butter is down in that radio market, although I am born and bred in Detroit City. Do a classic rock format, assistant program director, music director, and afternoon guy. And my association with Peter is through WCSX, the sister station here at WRIF. And he asked me to jump aboard and give it a shot and have some fun and do some learning and catching some talk show experience. So that's what this is all about. And it would be great to have you guys calling in, 313-298-WRIF. Saw some emails that were sent to me talking about comments from various Democratic lawmakers along the following lines, like, remember Vietnam had an election and you recall how that ended? Or, okay, the election was nice, but none of it was worth $100 billion or 10,000 killed or wounded. Or, you know, we've actually created more terrorists in Iraq, election or not. Now, there's a lot to criticize about the war in Iraq and how it's been conducted, and the outcome, obviously, is still pretty uncertain, but those who suggest that the Iraqi election is just beanbag and that all we are doing is actually making the war on terrorism worse as a result in Iraq, it's kind of a silly thing, you know, because the truth basically is there's no single action we can undertake anywhere in the world to reduce the threat of terrorism that would have a bigger impact today than a decent outcome in Iraq. And that's precisely because it's so important that we shouldn't leave it to Donald Rumsfeld. If you understand what I mean. So, Democrats, you guys need to start thinking serious about Iraq. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, leaving yourself out of the most important foreign policy issue of the day. Some of the things that you may want to be excited about if you're on the left, what Iraq is now embarking on is its first attempt ever by the citizens of a multi-ethnic, multi-religious Arab state to draw up their own social contract, their own constitution, for how they should share power and resources, protect minority rights, and balance mosque and state. Also, if Iraqis can't forge a social contract, it's going to suggest that no other Arab country can, since virtually all of them are basically of similar mixtures of tribes and religions. And that would mean that they can only be ruled by iron-fisted kings or dictators. But if the Iraqis can succeed in forging a social contract in the hardest place of all, it means that democracy is actually possible anywhere in the Arab world. Although Dems don't favor using military force against Iran's nuclear program or to compel a regime change there, they don't really have a diplomatic option. But I think, you know, if you think about it, Iraq is really our Iran policy. And if we can help produce a representative government in Iraq based on free and fair elections, and the Shiite leadership is accepting minority rights and limits on clerical involvement in politics, it'll exert great pressure on the Ayatollah dictators running Iran, and then over time, Iranian Shiites are going to demand to know why they can't have the same freedoms as their Iraqi cousins right next door, and that will drive change in Iran. Obviously, a lot of talk going on about possible invasion in Iran, and we all know the war on terrorism is a war of ideals, and the greatest restraint on human behavior isn't really a police officer offense. It's a community, and it's a culture. And, you know, it's something to think about. We paid a huge price in Iraq already, but we got to finish up the job there, and we need real partners to do it, and it's real important that, you know, we take care of this. So let's get your feedback on that and what you think about Iran and Iraq kind of crossing each other and maybe being, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a backbone for each other for democracy throughout the Middle East. 313-298-WRIF. Night call happening. Peter Werby away. I'm Mike McIntyre. Glad to be here. Hope if you're out driving tonight, cruising around, you're taking it easy. I haven't been outside in a couple hours, but understand that the roadways are getting a little bit better and temperatures are going to start warming up after midnight. So we hope that's good. We're heading back to the telephones, going to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Betty's hanging out with us this evening. Betty, do I have you there? Betty from Ann Arbor, you on the line?
Yes, I am.
How you doing tonight?
Okay.
Great.
I was just thinking about what you said, and I'm afraid I have to disagree.
Okay.
Our Iraq policy, to me, is a disaster, and I don't think it had anything to do with getting elections or freedom over there. We can't have elections here that we can trust, so it's really sort of hard for me to have a lot of faith in elections engineered by people like Chalabi and Bush and God knows who else. And then Iran, the threat that we're throwing around and the talk about nuking them is completely insane as far as I'm concerned. I guess people have forgotten about Hiroshima and the shadows left in the walls when the people were dissolved. I mean, that right there shows that we are not responsible with nuclear weapons. We're the only ones that have ever used them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the ones that supplied most, you know, Saddam and bin Laden. And if we really cared about the terrorism problem, we would have gone to Saudi Arabia, where the 15 Arabs came from, supposedly, on that plane.
Mm-hmm.
A couple Egyptians, right? Maybe a Pakistani or something, but not an Afghani and not an Iraqi. And it had nothing to do with it. If he hadn't been sidetracked with his Iraq obsession for whatever reason, maybe because it's the second largest oil reserve in the world,
mm-hmm.
but had he not been, you know, spent all that time and money, put us in debt so bad, stretched our army so bad, I think we would have caught bin Laden if he really cared about that. Because from what I understand now, the Taliban, after we gave them $40 in April before the attack on 9/11, well, the Taliban, from what I understand, the women are back in the burqas, they're being stoned, they're being hung. The only difference is USA is in control, but they're letting the Taliban just regroup and do the same thing they were doing before. I don't have any faith at all in this administration, and I'm terrified that they're dabbling, that they really want to keep war going. And now we're talking of Russia getting involved with Iran and us threatening China. I mean, you know, this is like self-destruction wish,
mm-hmm.
you know, a death wish to me for our world.
Well, it certainly seems the current administration wants to be in everybody's business. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and if they want to bring freedom, why don't they reinstitute our Constitution? It was suspended the day after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and no one even realizes it, and the media doesn't cover it. We don't have any rights here. So while he's all worried about elections there, we didn't have a fair one here. We can't count our votes, you know. So, you know, that's my opinion. And that guy who was worried about why the guy had nothing better to do from Washington, D.C. than call, I would like to ask him the same question.
All right, buddy, I appreciate it. You have a safe night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 313-298-WRIF night call happening. Mike McIntyre is my name, sitting in for Peter Werby this week. And any topics you want to bring to light, that is fantastic. That's why I'm here for the next 90 minutes or so. To get some insight and get some information from you guys. Mike's out in Fraser tonight. Let's see what's happening with him. Mike, you're on WRIF Night Call. How you doing?
Oh, good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. Just balancing my way through the whole act. You know what I mean?
couldn't really hear the last caller, but I think I agreed with her.
Basically what she was saying was that the information I was reading about using Iraq and Iran as a policy and a flank for each other was basically just a scam in terms of the Bush administration and their invasion.
Yeah, that's a page right out of it. What is it, the Project for the New American Century or whatever, those crypto-fascists that are trying to conquer the Middle East and all the oil reserves.
Mm.
I guess I just wanted to, you know, the Bush administration has vested interests in both ends of this war, the sale of weaponry, the extraction of the oil resources, and the rebuilding of the countries that we're destroying.
Oh, the rebuilding is probably the biggest moneymaker of all for the Bush administration. They've got so many people in their back pocket on that they're set for life. So
yeah.
Maybe war is the answer for this particular administration.
And the other thing about Iran that I guess I'd like to let the people know, that if I'm sure most of this audience knows, is that Iran, if you ever read anything from JuanCole.com, or informed comment,
mm-hmm.
he says that they actually have a more democratic, more open society. Their elections were cleaner. Their most recent elections were cleaner than the Iraq elections.
Mm-hmm.
And you had made a comment about getting clerical involvement out of the politics in the Arab world. Well, heck, I'd like to see that happen here.
Hey, that's a very good point.
Anywho, I guess that was my two cents.
Okay, Mike, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for being a part of Night Call tonight. I do appreciate that. Let's go to Kyle in Ypsilanti. Kyle, how you doing, buddy? What's on your mind?
I wanted to respond to Betty from Ann Arbor.
Please do.
She was talking about going into Saudi Arabia because that's where the hijackers were from.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number one, they weren't trained in Saudi Arabia. They were trained by bin Laden, who was operating out of Afghanistan and
mm-hmm.
possibly still is, but that part's irrelevant. And Saudi Arabia owns, I believe it's, what, like 3% of America?
Maybe more.
Right. So
mm-hmm.
going into Saudi Arabia, they're going to pull all of their money out of our economy, and you think things are bad now? Do you realize, does anybody realize what that would do to our economy?
Right.
That would almost shut America down. Maybe not quite that far. Maybe that's a little exaggeration.
Well, there's a lot of investment in our country with the Japanese and the Chinese, too, as far as bankrolling our deficits. So there are a lot of foreign hands in our own American money. So it does give you something to think about, absolutely. And I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have yourself a great evening. Steve from Lincoln Park is part of Night Call tonight here at WRIF, 313-298-WRIF. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
You know what, man? I'm having a good time learning some stuff from people like you. So go ahead and turn me on to what's on your mind tonight.
All right. Well, I had two things, but the first one revolves around the casinos in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there's anybody in the audience has heard anything that maybe relates to casino gambling and the infusion of money that the casinos are getting has helped wipe out the Michigan economy and make it basically the one of the worst in the entire nation, if not the worst.
Well, wasn't the premise, and again, I'm a Detroit-born guy, but like I said, my bread and butter in radio is down in Toledo, so I pick up the Free Press and things every now and again, but wasn't the premise of the casinos designed to reinvigorate the school system and re-stimulate the economy in the state? Wasn't that the whole idea and the purpose?
Yeah, and then they, you know, claim, oh, there's going to be... American citizens denying them their constitutional rights,
mm-hmm.
and people, anybody who is deemed a enemy combatant can be held indefinitely without a trial or access to a lawyer or anything.
Well, there's an interesting story of a guy named Mahir Arar. He's a 34-year-old native from Syria, and he emigrated to Canada as a teenager, and he was returning from a family vacation in Tunisia, and he was seized by American authorities at Kennedy Airport in New York. And at that point, was processed to another plane. He wasn't charged with a crime, but he was placed in handcuffs and leg irons by plainclothes officials and transferred to an executive jet and swept into an increasingly common nightmare. Courtesy of your United States government, the plane took him from Kennedy, flew to Washington, continued to Portland, Maine, stopped in Rome, Italy, and landed in Jordan. And basically any rights that he thought he had, either as a Canadian citizen or a human being, were pretty much left behind. He was tortured at the behest of the American government and later released when they found that he had no terrorist ties whatsoever, other than the fact that he worked with a gentleman whose brother had terrorist ties. So, very interesting stuff. And
nothing like guilt by association.
You're not kidding. I appreciate your comments tonight. You have yourself a great one. 101 FM WRIF 313-298-WRIF is the number here on Night Call. I'm Mike McIntyre sitting in for Peter Werby. Peter coming back next week with all kinds of information for you. We're out to Livonia, Michigan with George. How you doing this evening, George? Welcome to Night Call.
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Appreciate you calling in this evening. Not too nice weather-wise out there at all.
No, not at all. You know, I was wondering if we could take, as far as Social Security goes, and privatize it.
Yeah.
And appoint a board of governors. Take all the money we currently have and purchase casinos around the country, around the world, and
mm-hmm.
run it, and all proceeds and profits go directly into Social Security for future.
That's an interesting thought. Very
you know,
interesting thought.
Why give it to all the single corporations and all the Maloof brothers that are running the casinos where we can just turn it right over?
Yeah, well, those brothers might have something to say about that.
Well, they can have their casino, but we'll have ours.
All right, I appreciate it. You have yourself a great night.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. 313-298-WRIF, back to the phones. It's Les in Farmington Hills. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Glad to have you aboard tonight.
Yeah, I just want to touch bases on insurance, like
sure.
health insurance.
Sure,
car
go ahead.
Insurance. It's one of the biggest scams there ever is.
I would agree with you in some aspects, although it gives you some limited protection. It can still be very, very difficult if you get yourself in a bind, or you have, in terms of being sick, if you have a predisposition, if you are in a car accident and you hurt somebody. I mean, things can be pretty sticky.
I totally understand, but what I mean by what I said was, is most people can't afford it.
Mm.
It's so outrageous, health insurance, and yet we're giving away billions and trillions of dollars to other countries.
Well, would you rather see a socialized medical system like Canada?
Yeah, I'd rather see something. I mean, I've got kids, I've got a wife, and I work sometimes I work 16, 18 hours a day.
And I understand that, and I respect that.
I'm anywhere.
But under socialized medicine, though, you realize that you may not have a choice to go to the doctor or the pediatrician or the gynecologist. You know, you'd have to make a real sacrifice in terms of your personal health, so I think that's where a lot of people are in balance
but
with.
The insurance companies are getting richer, and we're getting poorer. We're insurance poor. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know because I own a company, and you know, every time I turn around, I'm getting audited. I've never made a claim.
How many employees are you paying for in terms of insurance?
In the summertime, I hold like you know, four or five employees. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, two.
Now, do you take a piece of money out of their check for their benefits, or do you pay everything for them? They're 100% covered by you.
Yeah, I pay you 100% of it.
Hmm. You hiring? Because my insurance doesn't do that.
It's ridiculous. I mean, every time I turn around, I get audited.
Right.
And the insurance company's getting richer, and I'm not getting anything out of it. And it's just, you know, it's sad because it's based on your gross income.
Right.
And, you know, if I took and sold $8,000 worth of sand, that goes towards my gross income.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I paid $8,000 for sand and I turn around and sold it for $8,000 just to do a job,
mm-hmm.
You know, that goes towards my gross income, and it's totally unfair.
Well, I understand, and you know,
health insurance and this company insurance and car insurance are just. It's outrageous.
It ain't cheap. It ain't cheap.
Not for anybody.
One of the great American scams going on for sure.
You know, and we're giving away trillions of billions of dollars when somebody can actually speak up and do something about.
Well, I think that's an argument with a lot of people that go out every day and work hard and contribute to society and pay their taxes and are decent, honest people. I think, you know, your government has a responsibility to take care of the people at home first before you're going out putting your nose in everybody else's business. And that doesn't seem to be the way things go. And, you know, I hear your frustration, and I do appreciate your call. You be safe out there tonight. Thanks for being a part of Night Call.
Take care.
313-298-WRIF. It's Mike McIntyre in for Peter Werby. We're heading off to Bass, Michigan with Randy. Bass, Michigan. Randy, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. It's Bath, Michigan.
Bath, Michigan. Okay, well, my phone screener put Bass on there, so you can yell at Roth Dizzy. He's the one doing it, but he's all right. It wouldn't be a show without him here.
That's right.
What's on your mind, Randy? Go ahead.
Well, actually, I have a comment about I think her name is Betty in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, Betty talked to three or four, five, six calls ago, for sure.
Right, okay. Now, she made mention about the Iraq situation and why we're over there and everything, and basically that we shouldn't be over there, and the reason why we're over there pretty much is oil. And well, if she was in Iraq right now and Saddam Hussein was still in power and she wanted to say something over the radio or over phone or via, it doesn't matter what, if she said something bad about Saddam Hussein or anyone else that is in power over there, she would have been stoned to death.
Right, there would certainly not be a Night Call show available over there,
right.
That's for sure.
Now, the other thing, she made mention that we don't have rights over here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and at the same time, she was talking to you, bad-mouthing Bush, and all the other powers to be in the United States, and she couldn't really do that in almost any other nation. I mean, probably Great Britain, maybe Canada, places like that, but you try that in Cuba or the old Iraq before we went over there. Now, and she'd probably be stoned to death.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but also in the same content, you are a bit repressed in the United States. You're given enough to be called freedom, but you're still controlled. You know, there's still an element of control that's going on. You don't know where your tax dollars go. You don't know where, you know, all your blood, sweat, and tears from your job or any of the other things that, you know, you put into society. You don't know where that goes. You're not told anything. Yeah, you can go get a loaf of bread, you know, and you can eat, and that's a great freedom. But, you know, and I'm not saying that I don't love the United States, because I do, but there are a lot of repression, government repressions going on with people in our own country.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're going to get that anywhere you go, though. I mean, a lot of people are quick to say how crooked our government is, and that's mostly people that live here that'll say, oh, the government's crooked or whatnot. And my thing to them is if they're going to badmouth the United States like that, I mean, if they don't like it, leave. There's nobody keeping you here.
Mm-hmm.
Leave. I mean, every government you're ever going to see in the world is corrupt in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And ours is probably one of the least. Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that Betty and the caller after her, and there was one in between the other two callers there, how soon people in the United States are quick to forget about things that happened to us, such as 9/11,
mm-hmm.
or the bombing in that ship. I couldn't tell you what it is. But all the terrorist attacks that happened on this nation, and she wanted to badmouth our security system and how this guy was, you talked about him, about how he's flown from wherever to Oregon or whatever.
Right.
Well, if you think about it, okay, that actually makes me feel a little safer. Yeah, the guy didn't have any ties or whatever, but you know what? Nothing's happened since 9/11, and they've been trying.
But he was also racial profiled. For that particular incident, that he really didn't do anything. He didn't do anything, according to this report I'm reading. And once you start doing that, then you're stripping away a person's civil liberties. I mean, you know, just because your skin isn't white doesn't mean that you have a right to racially profile someone based on suspecting something that you really don't have any evidence on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying, but at the same token, you, being white or whatever nationality you are, you enter into another nation.
I'm Irish, so I'm green.
Okay. Green with purple stripes.
That's right.
Okay, you enter into Iraq, and they just had an attack over there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're going to be looked at different regardless of your rights that you're going to have over there. You're going to be looked at different. You're going to be questioned more than anybody else, and you got to understand that. Is it unfair? Yeah, it's unfair. But at the same time, he was Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously knew that he did not. He wasn't an American.
Well, obviously they knew he was Syrian.
Right. So, him being questioned like that or flown off, is it unfair? Sure. But at the same time, at least I know that they're trying to do their job.
Mm.
You know, people make mistakes.
Well, Tony Blair made mistakes, too, and formally apologized to 11 people who were wrongfully convicted and imprisoned of a bombing in England, too. So there's a very fine line that's going on with racial profiling. But I appreciate your input and being a part of Night Call tonight here at WRIF. Let's go to Ray in Royal Oak. Ray, how you doing? Thanks for hanging on and being part of Night Call tonight. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I want to say one thing. It is beautiful outside.
You're a winter lover.
Oh, man. The Romulus, the Oxford, back to Royal Oak is beautiful.
All right. Well, what's on your mind tonight, man?
What's on my mind is,
yes.
First, I'd like everyone to vote Libertarian. Try something different. And as far as I agree with the lady in Ann Arbor, if it's so bad for people in Iraq, let them immigrate to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the job of the United States to make other countries good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to protect the United States, protect us, defend us. We're not supposed to build other countries. If Shell wants oil, let Shell send their boat and get sunk or ship or whatever. Leave us out of it. As far as civil rights are granted by the government. They're actually their privileges because the government can take it right away if it grants it.
Mm-hmm.
The people got to wake up. Well, the United States is, the purpose of the government is to protect the United States people's life, liberty, and property, and that's it. No other country we should have concerns with as far as, you know, building or picking leaders. In fact, the United States and the Bushes created Saddam Hussein, and now they're fighting. In fact, and also Osama bin Laden. So they made them both, and now they're fighting them both. So stay out of other countries, stick to ours, and if we get attacked, we can defend us.
Okay, Ray, appreciate it. 313-298-WRIF. It's Night Call happening tonight. I'm Mike McIntyre sitting in for Peter Werby. Peter returning this coming Sunday. We're back to the phones as we hit a call in Detroit. It's Sam on the line. Sam, you still hanging with us, bud?
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for hanging out and being a part of Night Call. What's on your mind?
The
the only thing that I have to say is the whole problem that everybody's missing is that it's the Jews. 3% of the population owns billions and billions of dollars going back to Israel. Why is that? They got to stop that stuff. We'll be friends with neighbors in other countries, and that's the end of it. Jews own 100% of Hollywood.
Well, listen. I'll tell you. I'll certainly let you have your point of view on the phone, but let's not, chase after a certain race of people. I mean, that's just not something. That's just not something that's going to work on this show. You know, we're here for conversation. We're here to learn, and I'm here to fill in for Peter Werby. And I appreciate everyone's point of view, but no racial slams at all. That's just not something that's very cool at all. Let's go to Dennis in Redford Township. Dennis, are you there? Thanks for hanging, Dennis. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I was listening. I listened to the show quite a bit. And I guess she was about 5 or 6 callers ago,
mm-hmm.
and she was talking about, you know, I'm getting tired of these poor carry sore losers. They don't realize I served in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And I
thank you for that.
I had a chance for a Purple Heart.
Mm-hmm.
I turned it down.
Mm-hmm.
And,
why?
Because I didn't earn it.
Mm-hmm.
I basically was out on a mission, got hit in the eye with a branch, and it scratched my eye, and somebody back at the fire base said, "Well, write it up for a Purple Heart. You can get it." I said, "Why? I didn't get injured I didn't get shot.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys that deserve it a lot better than what I did."
Mm-hmm.
And Kerry, that was all set up, political setup. That was the way he did it.
Mm-hmm.
He had movie camera crews over there. He knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was prepping himself to be a future senator or whatever.
Well, I don't know that Senator Kerry was the strongest candidate for the Democratic ticket during last year's election. I'm not sure that he was, you know, proper to even give Bush a fight. But you know, he certainly seemed to be the best of the bunch. So, like I said, the Democratic Party is in serious trouble, and they need some leadership to revitalize this thing.
Well, the thing of it is that people aren't realizing that my mother, back in 1960s, gave me a book, and it was called None Dare Call It Treason.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically like the if you ever read Marx's Communist Manifesto,
mm-hmm.
he told how a country could be taken over, a free country like the United States could be taken over. And he laid it out exactly how that he could come in as a communist or whatever and take over a country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's none dare, excuse me.
You're okay.
None Dare Call It Treason was based on that and showing exactly what was happening in the United States in the 1960s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, our rights have been being trampled on slowly but surely ever since. They make ex post facto laws and say, well, it's legal to do that when the Constitution clearly states that there shall be no ex post facto laws. These legislatures get elected in, making promises to the people. They give themselves raises and then say everybody else has got to take pay cuts.
Mm-hmm.
We've been losing our rights. If you look at how they do the laws, little bit by little bit, all of our freedoms are slowly being taken away from us,
being eroded from us.
They're just, you know, and people aren't standing up and seeing it. That's like right now, you don't have the right to defend yourself in your own house. They say you do. And the Constitution says you do, but if you defend yourself in your own house, say that somebody broke in and you killed them because they threatened you, and, you know, they threatened to kill you, and you killed them, the prosecutors are going to take you to court and put you through a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to hope that they didn't plant somebody in that jury to convince everybody that you're guilty of a horrendous crime when you were defending your own home.
Well, it depends on how much money you got.
That's true. You can get it. You buy justice. That's one thing that happened. If anybody ever read the preamble to the Constitution, it states in there that the common law and this Constitution are the supreme laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And say common law was based on common sense. Now, if you look at half the laws three quarters of the laws they got on the books today, there's no common sense in them whatsoever.
Yeah, there are some silly ones, that's for sure.
There's absolutely no common sense. It says that you have the right to drive. Okay, drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
I studied constitutional law,
mm-hmm.
and common law and stuff like that, and that's why I've learned a lot of this, that actually they don't have the right to make you have to have a driver's license, because that is a constitutional given right to travel.
Right.
Okay. they can set speed limits. Now, if you're a commercial, if you're a commercial truck driver, or you use your vehicle for commercial purposes, like if you got a van you use for running from store to store delivering stuff, then they have the right to control you. But as a normal everyday citizen, as you and I, we don't technically we're not even supposed to. We shouldn't even have to have tags on our cars, license plates, or have to pay insurance and stuff like that.
Well, it's all about the money.
Well, the thing of it is insurance is one of the biggest organized crime things that ever came
sure.
about.
Sure. Yeah, it's all about the money.
And,
it's all about sticking it to
like
the little
lottery.
Guy.
The lottery was supposed to be, oh, we're going to bolster the schools if you put this lottery in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the money going? It's sure not going to the schools.
Yeah, I have no idea, Bob, but I appreciate your insight tonight, man, of being part of the show.
But like I said, people need to start waking up and start reading the Constitution and start writing their senators and their legislatures and say, look, wait a minute. Wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Smell the coffee, because otherwise it's going to be, it could be Dictator Bush or it could be Dictator Clinton.
All right. Well, thank you, Dennis. You have a great night. Appreciate your time. We're off to Westland. Scott's on the line with us tonight on WRAF on Night Call. Hey, what's up, Scott?
Oh, nothing much, or the same old thing, actually. Well, I have two things to say, mainly about, I guess, what we'd call the energy crisis.
Okay.
Basically, with the situation in Iraq and also... which might be a headline, you know, to some people, that the city of Ann Arbor rejected the idea of building a methane digester at their sewage treatment plant. But I guess I want to talk about the situation in Iraq first.
Okay, go ahead.
You're going to have to remind me a little bit, because I can never keep this straight. Okay, the Islamic sect that's actually the majority in Iraq is the Sunnis, right?
Yes.
Okay, great, great, great. Okay. Well, okay, that's what I would say is a situation that seems to be developing there now, is that... you know, and remember that even if John Kerry had been elected, he would have inherited this situation. So
sure.
Some people say the horse is out of the pottery barn, right?
Well, do you think to a certain extent that the Bush administration has inherited some of these problems, or do you think it's single-handedly jarred?
Certainly. But again, like I said, to some extent, maybe some of the Democrats are relieved, because basically you could look at this and say, boy, this is one onerous mess, you know, and they can clean it up. But okay, here is what I think might be some good news. Is it seems that since the election, that we find now that Baathists, and Shiite extremists
mm-hmm.
are now practicing terrorism against the Sunni majority, that they're
mm-hmm.
violating their, holy day, with, bombing attacks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just seems to me that if the Kurds, which are, the secondary, the primary minority, now in Iraq,
sure.
that, under the democratic system, if the Sunnis and the Kurds could maintain some kind of democratic alliance against, these Baathists and, Shiite extremists, that maybe now, the terrorists are beginning to cut their own throat. That
mm-hmm.
basically by attacking fellow Muslims, just because they're Sunnis and things like that, that's also what, the scary scenario is that a lot of people said that if we weren't there, Iraq would have descended into a civil war a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like I said, and the idea is that I said the other thing I want to emphasize is that the Sunnis have to maintain, their alliance with the Kurds, even though the Kurds are still the minority. And yes, they speak of, an independent Kurdistan and things like that. If they can, maintain their alliance against, the Shiite and Baathist extremists, it could be that, this is the light at the end of the tunnel. But again, I might be an idiot to say that. But okay, well, getting back to, why are we there? The oil, the energy crisis, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I've been talking about for years, and it's not complete by any means. I haven't really gotten to the bottom of this. But it turns out that in November 2003, you remember August 2003, the big blackout?
Sure.
That the city of Ann Arbor actually considered the idea of building a methane digester at their sewage treatment plant, with the idea that they would generate methane gas and or hydrogen, from sewage,
yeah.
and that they would use that to generate electricity, because obviously maybe they got tired of sitting around, looking at candles. So anyway, they actually hired a consulting firm of Greeley and Hansen to, do a white paper on this. And, I've actually seen some of the data, and I think some of it's an error anyway. But basically what Greeley and Hansen said is that they said that this would double the cost of, disposing of a dry ton of sewage, it's a technical term, but it also, the annualized cost over 25 years, including the cost of building the plant, would be like another, you know, $1.4 million a year for
sure.
The city of Ann Arbor, which, again, even, you know, that sounds like a lot of money, but, you know, when you look at, you know, budgets of even a city, that, you know, like Ann Arbor, that's not that much dough. But, okay, basically because of this a report by Brilliant Hanson, they declined it. Now, here's the irony of it, okay, is that I've been saying this for years, and it is, in fact, I've checked with people from Westchester County and even somebody from New York Power Authority who I don't think wanted to talk to me, but okay. basically, in Yonkers, New York, you know, United Technologies, you know, Corporation and Westchester County and the New York Power Authority, they've been operating a methane digester fuel cell power plant since 1998, you know. Now, okay, apparently that's been generating a lot of electricity. I don't have the specific figures yet, but they've got engineers. They've got accountants. You'd think that if it was some kind of boondoggle, you know, they would have given it up by now.
Right.
And so I haven't gotten to the bottom of this. Believe me, I've studied this, and even looking at the Greeley Enhancement Report, I can say that my own meager scientific, you know, things, that the output of the plant would be twice what they said. They were saying, talking like 470 kilowatts. I'm talking like a megawatt, like a million watts. That,
right.
That's based on some, you know, pretty precise scientific calculations. So, but even then, that doesn't push you quite into the bucket. So what I'd like to say, you know, about this, when I've been trying to sell this people the idea for, you know, for years, is that it would at least break even. That's what you'd want to go to, you know, like the city of Detroit or something, say, look, if you build this methane digester with a mini turbine or a fuel cell, you know, generator, you know, over 20 years or so, it would at least pay for itself. It would break even. So, you know, and then you would have this, renewable, you know, self-sustaining power source, you know.
Okay.
It wouldn't rely on diesel fuel or anything like that. And so, and also, remember one of the disasters that happened in August 2003, particularly with sewage treatment plants, is, A, both the water and the sewage systems went down. That was a shocking thing to me. I was in Wayne County. I was actually house sitting in Wayne County for my parents when that happened. You know, I don't really live in Wayne County anymore.
Right.
But, you know, I was bummed out because, hey, there's no water.
Exactly.
You know, drinking water, but yeah, you can't flush the toilet, you know.
All right, Scott, we're going to let you slide and appreciate your insight, and thanks for being a part of Night Call tonight. Let's go to Sean in Monroe. Sean, thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just wanted to comment about, like, insurance and how a lot of people are saying the insurance companies that, you know, it's too much and all that.
Yeah.
With the prices of it, yeah, you know, are, you know, they're pretty expensive. But you got to look at, you know, the people that make their living off, like, suing, you know, other people that drive the cost of it up.
Sure.
I mean, you get...
Well, your ambulance chasing lawyers that are looking for a quick buck, and it seems like you can sue anybody for anything, and somebody's got to pay the cost when all that's going on, that's for sure.
I mean, you get people like, John Edwards that is like complaining about how health cost is too much and how insurance is too much, but he made his living off suing insurance companies when he was an attorney.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like he's the Jeffrey Figer of wherever he was from. And, I mean, I live in a neighborhood and I had a neighbor that was a doctor and he paid out close to $1 million a year in liability costs.
Wow.
And I mean, you get those people out there and like I said, they just sue people for whatever. And a lot of times it's over stupid stuff.
Well, the laws let it happen. So until those laws are changed or until things are different restrictions are put into act, you know, people are going to continue to be able to sue for anything and everything, which, you know, in itself is an eroding of the country. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say, but, you know, it's not entirely the insurance company's fault. I mean, they're just trying to protect themselves.
Sure.
And sure, they make a little bit of extra money, and, I mean, you know, it's not fair, but, I mean, they didn't create the monster. Other people create the monster, and then, you know, everybody else, like myself, they suffer for it, but, I mean...
All right, Sean. Well, well said. And maybe some more people have comments on the insurance industry. 313-298-WRIF. Appreciate you being part of the program tonight. We'll take a time out. Come back with more of your calls. Those of you that are holding on, we're with you again in a couple of seconds on WRIF.
This is the RIS award-winning Night Call. This is WRIF.com.
There are so many choices in mortgages these days. For the first-time homebuyer and even for experienced homeowners looking simply to refinance, searching for a mortgage can be a frustrating and confusing time. Why not let Financial Independence Mortgage make your financing search easier? Financial Independence Mortgage provides you with all the relevant information about mortgages and will find you the perfect mortgage to fit your personal needs. It's as simple as filling out a one-page application, and Financial Independence won't make you wait long for your approval. Typically, you'll get a response within 24 hours. Get a free quote from all of the top lending institutions so you know you have a fair comparison of what's available to you on the market. You simply can't find a better, more thorough, more personalized way to ensure yourself of getting the best mortgage at the best rate possible. Competitive rates, very fast closing times, and Financial Independence Mortgage can handle exactly the type of mortgage to fit your personal needs, whether or not you have some blemishes on your credit. Find out today the difference Financial Independence Mortgage can make for you at 248-594-7582. That's Financial Independence Mortgage at 248-594-7582.
Tired of low-price LASIK ads that promise a great price only to find that it quadruples when you actually go there? Well, you'll never have that experience with Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. At the Lake Laser Eye Center, there are no gimmicks and no games. Only $9.99 an eye or as low as $33 per month per eye. You know your costs up front with no hidden charges. You receive top personalized service and see Dr. Combati himself at each visit. The Lake Laser Eye Center is not an assembly line designed to get people in and out as quickly as possible. They are committed to you and offer the highest standards of eye care using the state-of-the-art Visix S4 laser with active eye tracking. One visit to Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center and you'll understand why he's one of the most respected and accurate eye surgeons in Michigan. You owe it to yourself to receive the best care for the best price. Appointments are going fast. Call Lake Laser Eye Center today at 1-877-UC-MORE. That's 1-877-UC-MORE. Again, 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E. Or visit UCMORE.com. These are your eyes, and this is the care you deserve. You've searched today like every other day for those annoying reading glasses. It's gotten to the point where you just can't see the newspaper without them. Well, now you don't have to search for your glasses anymore due to a new procedure from Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center called Near Vision CK. Near Vision CK is a safe, simple, 5-minute procedure that's usually done on one eye and for just $9.99 or as low as $33 a month. This exciting procedure will finally eliminate your need for reading glasses. Call Dr. Combati today at the Lake Laser Eye Center, 1-877-UC-MORE, to set up your free consultation. You'll see Dr. Combati himself, and he'll take the time to answer all of your questions and thoroughly explain the Near Vision CK procedure. That number again is 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E, or you can visit the website, www.useemore.com, for Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. And get ready to throw those reading glasses away.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Cafe West, specializing in fresh seafood, saltwater fish, Angus beef, wild game, and poultry, located on West Jefferson and Trenton.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full-price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We talk with former Philadelphia Eagle and current Pro Football Hall of Famer Chuck Bednarik, who many consider to be the last true two-way player in NFL history. Oh, God, was this cool.
Here's the thing about being a two-way player. When you play center, you make contact on every single play. When you play linebacker, you make contact on every single play. This so-called guy, you know, what the hell was his name? Thought he was a two-way player.
Oh, Deion Sanders?
Jesus, he couldn't tackle my wife, Emma. I understand they're talking about putting him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My remark is then, if he gets in, I want to get out of
here. Mike in the morning. Broadcast program.
on the Riff.
101.1 WRIF.
Riff.
Make your request.
Win cool Riff gear.
And schmooze with the Fubar.
It's your all-request Riff rock and ride home with Big Daddy RZP.
From the Motor City's one and only, home of rock and roll.
101 WRIF.
Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tudo Ristorante on Erie Street in Windsor. If it's not on the menu, Tudo's chefs will custom make entrees to your liking.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We made our annual Super Bowl calls, and to everybody's surprise, came up with ex-Lion coach and current Eagles offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg.
This is Marty.
Marty, it's Drew and Mike calling WRIF Radio in Detroit.
Uh-oh.
How you doing?
Ouch.
How you doing?
Well, getting ready for a game.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how much do you not miss Detroit?
Oh, no, I miss Detroit. Hey, to tell you the truth, right down there in Plymouth, we had some great friends, and my wife and kids enjoyed it very much.
Did you want to draft Joey? I mean, there's been so much debate over who wanted him, who didn't want him.
Well, it wasn't my call. I like Joey very much. I didn't have him quite that high. At that point, the roster had been torn down. You know, we were 6-0 passing that first year with 3 different quarterbacks, and you know, philosophically, I wanted to kind of build a defense, and we just were decimated at the corner spot. So
was Jammer the guy you wanted?
There was one of 3 situations. You know, it was not my call. The call was made for the future of the franchise.
Drew and Mike in the morning. Broadcast
on the Riff.
101.1
Riff.
Said you failed. Put your hands behind your back, you're going to jail. And then I said, well, can I see the results? And he showed it to me. It said 000. And I said, well, what do you mean? It says 000. And he said, well, I zeroed it out already. Put your hands behind your back, you're going to jail. So as a result of that, I had just had major reconstructive surgery on my wrist. I don't want to go into a lot of details, but they were very rough in handcuffing me and throwing me in the car.
Sure.
I don't really think that they liked that I was trying to stand up for my rights.
And when did this happen?
It's over a year ago, and I'm still going. I have a pending drunk driving case right now. I have absolutely no driving record at all, no criminal history. In fact, I was several years ago, I was awarded a civil citation by the old mayor of Warren, for saving a woman out of her burning mobile home.
Did you say that you have a pending drunk driving case on record right now?
I do, and I've spent over $5,000 trying to defend myself against this case already.
Yeah.
And I've been, according to what I've been told from my attorneys, I've been wanting to go to jury trial from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And every step of the way, everybody, my own attorneys, I've had several attorneys. I've had to drop some attorneys because they keep trying to talk me into taking a plea bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And
for something that allegedly you didn't do.
Right.
Interesting.
They wanted to plead guilty to something that I didn't do in order to draw, you know, lessen the charge, and you know, that's just the way the system works now. It's
sure.
It's a big plea bargain system, and there's no room for innocent people in the judicial system anymore.
All right. Well, I do appreciate your comments and wish you the best of luck. Thanks for being a part of Night Call tonight. Let's head off to Windsor, Ontario. Wally's on the phone. Wally, how you doing, buddy? Welcome to Night Call at WRIF.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I'm just making a comment at the... A guy earlier called in for about the Shia'an synagogue going on in Iraq, actually.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
I'm just calling about the... this. Like, earlier, a guy was talking about the Shia'an synagogue that was going on in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And also, I just want to make a comment. Is like, everything he said actually is not... It wasn't true.
Well, go ahead and tell us your point of view.
Actually, everything's going on right now between Shia and Sunni. There isn't any particular thing going on in Iraq between Shia and Sunni. It's basically like other people from other countries going right now, bottoms and stuff inside Iraq, trying to kill any person from Iraq and or kill the American at the same time, or trying to make a war going on between Shia and Sunni. Because in Iraq, there's no difference between if you're Shia or Christian or you're Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
You're Iraqi, basically. And I'm Iraqi myself. And I never, like, we never had any difference between Shia and Sunni. And actually, like, you know what I mean? Us as Shias, we could never bomb any ourselves unless we've been told to, and we've been never told to. Because we're not supposed to kill any innocent person, and especially if they're Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
That goes on right now. Basically, it's not about the Iraqian at all, and it's not the Iraqian people who's bombing themselves down there.
So where is all this media attention or this media information coming from? Where are we getting all our resources from?
The media is not, like, be honest, media is not telling the truth, because there is no Shia right now back there is bombing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not supposed to bomb a Muslim person. For what reason? Why are we supposed to kill? Because he's Sunni and we're Shia?
Mm-hmm.
There is no difference. You're a human being just like, you know what I mean, like any other, but you're Sunni, so there is no difference.
Okay. Well, that's well said, and I appreciate your participation in the show tonight. Thank you very much for your call. 313-298-WRIF. It's Night Call. I'm Mike McIntyre, in for Peter Werby. Peter returning this coming Sunday. Let's go out to Harrison Township and talk to Sue. Sue, thanks for hanging on the line. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi, I have a question for you. It could be a really dumb question.
I hope I have a decent answer.
You know how farmers are going out of business because big corporations are buying up all the farmland?
Well, I don't know if they're buying up the farmland. I think the big corporates, as far as farming goes, is your radio on? Because you may have to turn that down a little bit.
Oh.
We're getting a little feedback going on. I think what's happening with your small independent farmers is they're just not able to turn over any kind of a profit from any of their goods. And I think the big corporates, your GEs and your, you know, General Mills and all these conglomerates are not giving the independent farmer a fair shake to make a living. And I think that's why you're seeing so many things as far as independent farmers going astray. So,
right. And then Bush keeps cutting the farm subsidies.
Yeah.
But he wants to start this amnesty program with Mexico and have these Mexicans come over and work for his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would those people pay into Social Security?
This is a good question. I would have to say probably yes.
You think so?
I would think so. I mean, I'm not 100% sure on that, and I don't want to give you an answer that I'm not 100% sure about, but I would think absolutely, unless they're coming over here illegally, and then they're not on the books, and nobody really knows, so... You know, that's as far as the question you're asking. That's about as far as I can take it, because I'm not really sure. But maybe another listener may at 313-298-WRIF. Thank you, Sue, for your call. Appreciate it. We're going out to Danny in Warren, Michigan. Danny, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guy?
It's going good, bud. Just learning and listening. Go ahead.
I feel you. Yeah, that guy who called in a little while ago, man, about, you know, crossing the 8-mile border from Detroit to Warren.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's because 90% of the of the people who do get pulled over crossing out of there are drug addicts and drunks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I like to think that. I got a 2-part question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to comment on that. Because,
yeah, that's fine.
You know, that's not the police fault. That's the ding dongs who are coming up and back and forth across the border's fault. You know what I mean?
Right. I hear you.
And people like it, you know, and this goes out to anybody like him. Him and people like him, you know, get a hold of 24/7 bail bonds, and we'll take care of people like that. We're running a good business right now.
All right, is that it for you tonight, buddy?
That's it, man. Thanks for putting me on the air, brother.
Thanks, Danny. Have a great one. Appreciate your time. We're back to the phones. Tim's in St. Clair Shores. Snow kicking up in the shores still, or is it quieted down a little bit out there?
Nah, it's raining right now.
Still, all the rain's coming through. Okay, well, maybe most of the heavy stuff's out of the way. How you doing, and what's on your mind tonight? Welcome to Night Call here at WRAF.
Good. I got a question with the insurance companies for car insurance.
Yeah. A question or a comment?
Actually, both.
Okay.
All right. How can the insurance companies supersede the state and make their own rules as far as your driving record goes? I mean, is that legal?
I don't know that that's happening. Is that something that's happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
And give me an example.
According to the state, I have 3 points.
Okay.
My insurance company that I've been with for 20 years
mm-hmm.
is going to cancel my insurance come June or August of this year because I've had too many speeding tickets.
Okay, but that's their right, though, to cancel out any time they want. I mean, if you're reading the fine print in your insurance, it pretty much tells you that they can drop you, cut you, and leave you dry at any point.
But it's okay for them to supersede the state's laws?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it appears that they have, again, I'm not an insurance expert, and maybe somebody can answer that question for us, but I think that they, you know, they have the right to drop a client at any point under any circumstances. You know, and maybe we do have an insurance person out there that's listening to the show tonight that could give us a call and answer that question for you. And I do appreciate you participating. Let's go to Bill. Bill is out in Clawson. What's happening out there tonight, Bill? How you doing? Thanks for hanging out with Night Call.
Excellent. First question I had was, I just noticed that you're replacing Peter for a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, Peter comes back this coming Sunday.
Yeah, and from what I heard, you're doing an excellent job, but I hadn't heard of you before, and I was just wondering what your background is, how you got into the position.
I'll explain that to you, as I have been trying over the last couple of weeks to let everybody know that basically I'm a Detroit-born guy. And my bread and butter in terms of what I do for my living is at Classic Rock Radio in Toledo. And I'm an assistant program director, a music director, and I host the afternoon show there from 3 to 7. My association with Peter is the fact that I work with him over at WCSX, which is the sister station of WRF. And I've known Peter a couple of years, and we've had several discussions about him thinking about, you know, when he's away, who can come in and do the show, and,
right.
you know, who can fill in the chair. And we had a couple conversations, and he asked me if I wanted to take a shot at it. And I went, sure, you know, for the experience factor. I mean, you know, I respect Peter immensely. He's one of the great broadcasters of Detroit radio. I mean, going back to the switching of AM to FM. And for me, for a guy in my position to be able to sit in his chair and learn some things is really more of an honor than it is an education. Although I've learned a lot in the last couple of weekends. So that catches you up to where we are.
Excellent. I just had I wanted to see if anybody could comment on this. Obviously everyone's been hearing about the, Ward Churchill mm-hmm. essay. And obviously, I think most people would agree that, you know, what happened at the World Trade Center was tragic.
Absolutely.
You know, just absolutely horrendous. However, with the outrage over his essay, I think we're all kind of incumbent to look at. Whenever, you know, we say that all those people were innocent, and I believe that they were, but by our own policy making,
mm-hmm.
we refer to the same type of people just somewhere else in the world as collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if anybody will, you know, kick up some comments on this. What's the difference between collateral damage in Iraq versus collateral damage here?
Well put, Bill. I appreciate that, and I'm sure we'll get some calls on that at 313-298-WRIF. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. We're off to Daniel in Monroe, Michigan. Daniel, how you doing this evening? Welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for being a part of the show tonight. What's on your mind?
I've just been listening to you guys
mm-hmm.
for quite a while now. And,
okay.
I was thinking I could sum everything up with one word.
I hope it's clean.
It's not creed, it's greed.
Yeah, greed. Greed is a big thing going on right now.
We're all greedy.
Well, we're spoiled. Americans are spoiled. We're used to having what we want, when we want.
It's not just Americans, it's everyone across the whole globe.
Mm-hmm.
We're all greedy, and that's all of us. We're all in the mix together.
All right. Well, Daniel, thank you very much. I appreciate that call, and thanks for being a part of Night Call on WRIF. We're off to Bellevue. Tony, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
Actually, I just wanted to make a comment about profiling. It's not so much just racial profiling. It's profiling in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I drive a Cadillac. I work in the music industry, and mm-hmm. at any given day, my hair is a different color.
Okay. I can relate to that.
Which doesn't bode well for me because, you know, If you have a red Mohawk and you're driving a Cadillac, 9 times out of 10 you get pulled over.
Yeah, they think you stole it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I owned the car for 2 hours and got pulled over.
Because of the Mohawk.
Yeah, exactly. And the officer crossed 3 lanes of traffic to get behind me, didn't run my plate, and just pulled me over. But at least he was kind enough to admit he thought it looked funny, a guy with a red Mohawk driving a Cadillac. You know, and I understand that. You know, at least he came out and said he didn't make up an excuse. But just recently, I got pulled over, and the officer said that there was a warrant to the license plate, which I knew was, you know, ridiculous because it's my car and I have no warrants. But we went through a whole tirade, and, of course, I kind of got upset, and it all ended up that nothing happened. But I've been pulled over numerous times, and I understand officers have a hard job. But at least if they're going to pull you over, they can be honest on why they pulled you over.
Well, do you think a lot of that fear, that paranoia that the police officers and police women have to deal with now are based on some of the fear that's been jammed down our throats since 9/11? Do you think that that's part of the code, part of the training process where, you know, these officers are being told, hey, look, you know, this happened at 9/11, and we can't keep our, you know, we can't drop our guard ever again. And if you see anything suspicious, you need to investigate it and check it out. Or is it just another case of, well, you know, I've got the power, I've got the gun, I can be, you know, Matt Dillon from Gunsmoke?
I think it's probably a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the officer. Some of them are overzealous. They see something, you know, especially if you're driving around, say, at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
And like you said, they see somebody with, say, green hair driving a Cadillac, automatically you just stole the car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
But I go through the same thing at the airports, too.
Mm.
You know, when I go through security at the airports, they watch me very hard. Even though, you know, I'm probably the last person that's going to do anything because I don't blend into a crowd at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like I can do something and run and blend in with everybody. I mean, you're going to see me from a mile away.
Well, and you still have a right to, you know, have your individuality as a citizen and not be hassled for, I mean, that's going back to the 1950s. You know what I mean? That's really, really not a cool thing going on. But I appreciate your call and your comments. Thank you for being a part of Night Call tonight. We're off to Wisconsin. James, how you doing this evening? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF.
Thanks, Mike. If I could, I want to reference a couple of earlier callers and then something that you said near the top of the show.
Okay, go ahead.
Real quick, like, there was a caller who was talking about which of the groups was the majority in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the Shia.
The Shiites?
The Shiites are the majority by about 60%. And in terms of the it is a civil war, and there was a reference to common cause with the Kurds. Well, the Kurds want independence, and their concern right now is that, and then Turkey, which Turkey vows, you know, independence isn't going to happen, but that's a whole other story. You also had a caller who I thought was maybe a dinosaur, somebody who managed to like get out of the ice and walk out and say, America, love it or leave it. I thought we don't say that anymore, but you should know that it's America, love it or change it.
Mm-hmm.
And dissent has always been the basis of this country. The concern is in terms of how he defines democracy. I think he really needs an experience where he finds out that freedom of speech basically is when the government decides you can have freedom of speech.
Right.
Which we ran into at a Bush rally, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of democracy in Iraq, now Bush stood up at the State of the Union address and he said, you know, he started it out by saying, you know, they had something in common with the sovereign, democratically elected officials in Iraq. And I said,
right. Okay,
if you're going to buy into Bush's perversion of the language, he's setting a really low bar for democracy and sovereignty, considering that they're an occupied country.
Mm-hmm.
They're no more a democracy at this point in time than Cuba is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, probably the most powerful man in Iraq is Ali al-Sistani, who's the Shiite cleric, who he put out the word there will be no retaliation on the part of the Shiites against the Sunnis. He's also the guy that put out the word that the fighting against the coalition forces had to stop. He's the one that stopped the Muqtada al-Sadr Brigade, who still are in existence. And there's a lot of, you know, but the thing of it is, that was the ticket that got elected, or the list, as they call it,
Sure.
United Iraqi Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the planks, actually it was the second plank in their platform, is that a timetable for withdrawal of the multinational forces from Iraq will be announced,
mm-hmm.
which both Bush and Blair have said ain't going to happen.
Exactly.
And so this is the democratically elected sovereign government of Iraq who, you know, can't even, what else are they not going to get through? They're going to use the oil wealth of the nation for economic development projects in the country. Well, in the meantime, the Iraqi finance minister, like, signed deals with British Petroleum for cut oil deals
mm-hmm.
with Western companies.
Sure.
So you can kiss that plank of their platform goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how this is going to work out, and really, okay, one last point.
Yeah, summarize it.
I would summarize it by saying, let's not forget that we don't belong there to begin with. And it really, none of us can predict what the final outcome will be. There's never such a thing as a final outcome. But however it shakes out, we never should have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can tell me that sacrificing, if you think it's 100,000 civilian lives or 50,000 or 10,000 or 1,000 or 100 or your child, don't tell me that liberating a country should result in the death of so many civilians, the destruction of the infrastructure, when there was no threat to you at all.
All right, James, thank you very much. Appreciate your call from Wisconsin. This is Night Call on 101 FM WRIF, 313-298-WRIF are the phone numbers. We'll take a quick break, come back, and check out the last 30 minutes of the show and the next couple on RIF.
Your opinion matters. Call 313.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Build it and they will come.
What'd you say there, fella?
Build it and they will come.
Speak up there, bud.
I said build it and they will come.
Well, you're a gall-darned idiot. If you think just because you build a Harley-Davidson dealership, folks will just show up, you gotta give them what they want, for crying out loud. Out in Metro Detroit, this is Biker Bob, and I'm coming to Motown in March to bring you the newest Harley-Davidson experience.
Who's Biker Bob?
Oh my gosh, it's
Biker Bob is coming to Detroit.
My new dealership is focused on one thing. Can do. Smiling faces serving all your Harley-Davidson needs, from sales to rentals, service to storage, clothing to chrome. Biker Bob has everything you need to keep you on the open road with the sun kissing on your face and the wind pushing your backside. Biker Bob's is always a fun place to hang out all summer long with good times guaranteed. Listen right here on WRIF for my 60-second late-night radio talk show for advice on your motorcycle questions. We're coming to Detroit March 4th, 2005. If you want more info, you can jump onto that there World Wide Web at www.bikerbobsharley.com.
It's coming to the Novi Expo Center on Saturday, April 2nd, the 4th annual Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by your Detroit Dodge dealers. If you own a company or retail shop, such as a skate shop, men's clothing store, fitness and health, tax service, sporting goods, jewelry store, music and entertainment, furniture, golf, gadgets, or anything that interests men, this is your opportunity to introduce your product or service to thousands of metro area men. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. Many special features and attractions will be announced soon. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. You've got to be there. The Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by Dodge. Grab life by the horns.
This is WRIM.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We had Jamie Kennedy in studio, and he was telling us about his pre-celebrity days in Hollywood waiting tables.
I worked at this place called Veggie Gourmet. There was these two brothers that owned it, and they were from Brooklyn. They talk like this, you know, how you doing? But they were vegans, but they were like the Sopranos. And it was so weird.
You eat all the soy sauce? You eat all the soy tofu? Who would you eat the tofu for?
So Ron Jeremy would come in, and when he'd come in, they'd go, "Hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ron Jeremy." And like they would clap for him. Like there was like one person in the room. Like, it was Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
And then they turned to me. They go, "Hey, idiot." I go, "Treat Ron. Give him anything he wants, okay? He's really good people." So a hedgehog comes in. Ron would be on the phone and be like, he's like, "Yeah, hold on a second. Do you have organic apple juice? That's organic, right?" All right, I'm going to have that. Yeah, hold on. Okay, wait. What time is the orgy scene?
Drew and Mike, the morning broadcast program. On the Riff.
101.1.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tenney Street Roadhouse, located on West Village Drive in the heart of West Dearborn. Tenney Street Roadhouse features great American food and great American music.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Lunchtime Rocks with the Doc.
You pick the Riff Rock.
You win the prizes.
It's the High Noon All Request Lunch Hour.
Weekdays at noon with the Doc of Rock, Doug Podell.
Only on 101 WRIF.
Detroit's Rock Station.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We took advantage of our time talking to Al Roker from the Today Show to point out Matt Lauer's hair and how horrible it is. I can't look at him. He looks like he looks horrible.
He's freaking everyone out, Al. You guys just don't know it.
Let me just check here. He's on TV. You guys are on radio. Let's see.
Al, we're just talking about his hair. We're not knocking the guy.
You do a focus group on this guy, you'll find people hate his hair.
They don't hate his hair.
Nobody hates his hair. Yes, they do.
They don't hate his hair.
They do.
I said they don't.
They do.
Don't do infinity.
Infinity plus one.
Double infinity.
Drew and Mike in the morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff.
101.1.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Bellacino's Pizza and Grinders with 17 locations. Go to Bellacino's.com to find a Bellacino's near you.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.
Your chance to take control of the WRIF playlist with the guy who lost control a long time ago. The Riff's All Request Riff and Rock at 9 o'clock with Meltdown, the big unit. Weekday nights at 9 on 101 WRIF, Detroit's Rock Station.
That explain why there's an insurgency. These facts are just descriptions of collateral damage associated with America bringing democracy to Iraq. The insurgency, according to the Five, is because Iraq and Iran won't close their borders, thus letting in terrorists who are responsible for the insurgency. Now, some might think that this accusation is an example of the pot calling the kettle black, as it is coming from the U.S., a country that not only has proven itself incapable of closing its own borders, but also demonstrated no respect whatsoever for the borders of other countries. Question is why is the Secretary of State trying to set Iran up for U.N. sanctions, which the U.S. can manipulate to justify invading another Muslim country? And are Iran and Syria going to quake in their boots after witnessing the success of a few thousand insurgents in tying down 8 U.S. divisions? So we'll get your thoughts on that. We'll get back to the phone calls. We're going to do that right now as Justin has been patiently waiting on the line in Dexter, Justin, how you doing? Welcome to Night Call on WRIF.
Hi, I just wanted to call and comment about the guy with the red mohawk and the Cadillac being pulled over. Well, this is not happening out with the police. You know, basically any authority figure is happening with, like, in my school, me and my friend are running this test. You know, I'm the bad guy because I've been in trouble so many times, but he's the good guy, and we both went out, bought 30-inch dog choker chains, started wearing to school, and he has not been asked once to take them off. And, you know, every time a teacher walks around, take that off right away.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to call and comment on that. But
okay. Well, I do appreciate it, Justin, and you have yourself a great night. Thanks for being a part of Night Call on WRIF. We're off to Southfield. Mike, you there, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I called a little earlier. I'm the guy that got pulled over going across 8 Mile. I just had a little comment. The guy, I think his name was Dan, he called to plug his bail bonds company.
Yeah.
You know, I figures he's just going to have a comment like that, and then all he's really trying to do is plug his company. But my comment to him is, just because, you know, police officers are used to dealing with people that are generally guilty, you know, doesn't give them the right, or it doesn't make it right for them to violate the rights of the people who are innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole reason. They're here to serve and protect, not to harass innocent people and eventually prosecute them maliciously and cause them to take, you know, $5,000 away from my charity that I could be helping kids in Detroit, and make me spend that defending myself. And frankly, I don't think I'm going to get a fair trial with the way that everything's been happening and the threats they've made. I think it's almost impossible for me to get a fair trial, because the point is this: if they find me innocent, then I can sue them for false arrest, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, all the threats that they've made against me, trying to make me take plea bargains, they offered me a impeding traffic ticket.
Mm-hmm.
That would be suspended after 6 months. I don't even know if that's legal.
Yeah, that's the story for your lawyer, Mike, and I do appreciate your call and you being part of Night Call yet for a second time this evening. All very good. Let's go to Joe in Ipsy. Joe, how you doing, buddy? Joe, you online with us? How's it going tonight?
I'm here, buddy. What's
good.
Up, Mike?
Nothing.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was calling basically sort of in support of Mike there, who called for a second time. I know that's against the rules and everything. But,
well, those might be Peter's rules, but, you know.
Okay.
Peter's not here till next Sunday.
You know, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. One mainly was the war on terror, but what made me really pick up the phone was Dan's call.
Okay.
Talking about Mike. I think Dan really showed his true colors there when he referred to 8 Mile as the border.
Okay.
All right. Just a little point I wanted to make on that.
That was an interesting thing to say, for sure.
Yeah. Well, just a couple of other things. Just real quick, thank you for hosting, you know, for Pete, instead of us having to listen to some Motley Crue concert from 1987.
It's not easy shoes to fill, believe me. There's a lot of pressure here. I'm glad you guys are calling and teaching me something. So go ahead with your thoughts, buddy.
Right. You know, and also, you know, we've had a great, you know, this has been a good conversation, which, again, we have you to thank for getting us started with. And one of the things that you started there with was the war on terror.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I wanted to address. Just any listener out there, take yourself, your age and your gender, and just imagine that you're a person in Iraq. Okay, I'm a 30-year-old male.
Mm-hmm.
In Iraq. Okay, when this country comes in and they arrest and detain one woman, you know, just imagine just one woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that right there is, you know, a 1,000 years of bloodshed on you. You know, so, I mean, just, and look at the numbers of women and children that have been detained over there in the so-called war on terror. And when they say war on terror, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, it's doublespeak. Okay, they mean basically, when they say freedom, they mean slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this war on terror is just a falsehood. Are we winning? How's that for a method? You know,
I don't know that we are. I don't know that we are winning. I don't think anybody knows.
We're not winning. We're doing the exact opposite. We're inflaming the situation.
Right.
You know, is what I'm saying.
Well, most of Europe certainly are raising an eyebrow to some of the things that we've done, and I think that's why Bush is in Europe next week to try to rebuild some allies and get some confidence back to the United States. But that's going to be a difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Good luck. You know, good luck. It's And again, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, when they say the war on terror, it's doublespeak. Do you know who's in line to replace Rumsfeld as Secretary of the State of the Defense?
I don't know.
Mr. Excitement himself, Joe Lieberman.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, a Democrat. Yeah. A hawk is a hawk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was one other thing I don't know. I guess I lost it. But thank you again, Mike, for hosting. You've done an excellent job,
thanks,
buddy.
I'm doing my best, buddy. Thanks, Joe. All I appreciate your call. Let's go to Sterling Heights. Darren's been hanging out with us for a while. What's on your mind, Darren? Go ahead.
I got a couple things on my mind about some guys who've called in earlier in the little palaver tonight.
Go ahead.
And, by the way, Mike, have you been in talk before?
This is my first experience at talk radio these last 2 weeks.
Well, I've been listening to you last week and this week, and you are a natural.
I got a lot to learn, but I'm having a good time doing it. But I appreciate the comments. Thank you.
All right. A caller a long time ago, a while back, towards the beginning of the show, they were talking about how, you know, they said corruption's everywhere. Well, isn't that the truth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything I've heard more truer. And, you know, it just kind of seems to me that it's just that every country's got a different way of camouflaging these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the Middle East, they all use their religion as a fear to control their, you know, their country.
Sure, their people.
Yeah, and here in the U.S., you know, it's we have the same thing, except it's with capitalism. We have, like, what you guys have been talking about earlier, our insurance. We just, instead of doing it with strength and fear, we do it with our pockets and, you know, our money and our wallets.
Right, the bigger, the more you have, the bigger you are and the more accepted you are.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like almost in high school, you know. The more girls you have and stuff like that, all that immature stuff, it's just the same with your wallet.
It's a big click.
Oh, yeah. if you look at the government, it's kind of like big high school cliques right there. Republicans, Democrats.
Mm.
It's almost immature. And anyway, there's another caller. I think you booted him because he was a little discriminate.
Yeah.
And I think he said something about Israel. Now, I'm not a big Bible pusher. I'm barely religious. But I can remember many years ago when I was in my church, they said something about the Bible, and it said that the countries that support Israel will be supported through his will, and the countries that don't support Israel will just be flooded with, you know, terror.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, look at the world today. We support Israel. We are the strongest nation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
These countries that don't support Israel, you know, saying the Middle East type countries, they're all, you know, poor and it's kind of amazing.
Okay, well, I do appreciate your comments, Darren. Thank you very much. You have yourself a great night. This is WRIF Night Call. We're off to Southfield. Luther is waiting online. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for participating in the show tonight and making my job a whole lot easier. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, would you be interested in a little constructive criticism?
Of course I would. This is only the second time I've ever done this, so, I mean, I'm not here for ego. I'm here to learn. So, yeah, go ahead.
Man, well, usually it's not a big deal, but usually most talk shows,
mm-hmm.
That exactly what you just did, the mm-hmm, it usually doesn't come across on the broadcast.
Okay.
And it's no big deal, you know. At least you've got a great voice.
Well, in my business, they call that a crutch.
Okay.
That would be a crutch. When I go, that would be a crutch. See, but I'm not a lifetime talk show host, so I'm learning my interview skills as we go along here. But I appreciate that critique. That means a lot. I'll keep that in mind if I'm ever asked to do this again. So go ahead with your thoughts, buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, just mention a couple stories that might have been under the radar that really got under my skin this week and didn't get much coverage.
Okay.
For one, I heard the other day, and I couldn't believe it. There's a member of the House of Representatives, and he's actually a Democrat. And given the situation right now within our federal government, I'm just boggled by the fact that this guy proposed a amendment which will get rid of the 22nd Amendment, which is the presidential term limit amendment. And I cannot understand it. I cannot understand it. It boggles my mind. I actually have a family friend that has worked for the guy, and I'm going to find out more about it, and I'll relay it back to you if I find out any more.
Can you actually see something like that passing?
I don't know. You know, it's starting to get a lot tougher to figure out who's you know, really aligned with the Republicans' agenda, and it's not, you know, obviously it's not succinct. Everyone doesn't agree on that side, and everyone on the Democratic side doesn't agree, but there's some really odd, you know, motions going on right now, and I'm always trying to, you know, pass on to people that, you know, certain plans, like the plans that have been set forth by the Project for a New American Century members and the signees, and, you know, this is an old, you know, it's a group that's been around since 96, and we all need to go and read it. You know, I'm not joking around.
Well, like, I appreciate
it. We all need to educate ourselves.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be all about, and I appreciate your education tonight and the critique. You have a good one. Thank you for the call. Daniel in Royal Oak, you're on Night Call on 101 FM WRIF. What's up?
Yes, thanks for your great programming, and I just want to say, you know, it'd be great if we could all think globally and think locally and not so much about our consumerism, but let's think about the war and what it really means.
And what does it mean to you?
Honestly, this consumerism causes wars. We're fighting for oil on the other side of the earth, and it's not good. We need to get back home and not go to places that we're not familiar with.
All right, Daniel. Well, thank you very much, and thanks for being a part of Night Call tonight on WRIF.
Thank
Kevin
you.
Is in Romulus. Kevin, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Glad you waited, and what's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment briefly about, I think a lady called earlier, I'm not sure how long ago, but
Betty?
Something about the amnesty program, which President Bush is trying to put through for people who are here without documents currently.
Right.
Right, and I just wanted to give a couple thoughts on that real quick.
Sure.
I think that there's a lot of hypocrisy about that because there are a lot of benefits that these people do. They do the kind of work that most Americans like us don't want to do. There's a lot of things that they do, hard work and contributions to our economy and our society that we don't want to acknowledge, but we take for granted. I mean, if you eat out at a restaurant, it's more likely that the dishwasher or somebody like that, the cook is probably like that. How about the people who you know, slaughter the meat that we want to eat three meals a day? Everything that they do. And it's really a really old stale argument that you hear people saying, oh, well, if they paid more, Americans would do it, because that's nonsense, because we whine and complain about how the groceries are expensive. Imagine if they had to pay $20 an hour for somebody to slaughter a chicken, then we'd have, you know, $40 a pound worth of stuff on our grocery shelves.
Yeah.
So I just think it's really important to address that, and I think it's important for America to step back and really have a discussion about it, because we need to decide whether we're going to be open or we're going to close our doors. And if we close our doors, then we need to make decisions, because it's really bad to, you know, try to have it both ways, because it just morally, I mean, it's like we need to decide either we're going to allow people to come here, or are we going to say, you know, well, if they don't look like people from Sweden, then we don't need them. Because really, it's such a hypocritical stand. Because we claim to be open to the whole world, and we need to continue being open and recognize people and not force them into criminal and underground, you know?
Sure.
So.
All right, Kevin.
That's just my thoughts. Thank you.
Very good. I appreciate you joining the show tonight. Night Call on WRAF. 313-298-WRAF. Got about another 5-10 minutes to go. And a couple of phone calls to take care of. It's Paul from Detroit. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? I had a couple comments about lawsuits and people just suing and just wanting the money and just greedy. Got my own company, and I'm getting sued myself right now by somebody who claims they slipped on a 1x1 piece of ice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just everything that's come out is just ridiculous.
Well, it almost makes you afraid to want to attain that American dream of being your own enterprise or being
it
your
does,
own boss.
Right now it could kill me. Could make me have to start up another company, and the end of my company would be a two, you know?
Sure.
And it sits there, and you got to think of all these other things that are going to possibly happen if somebody comes along and they do slip and fall, you know? That could close you down for good, and you might not be able to restart, you know?
I do understand what you're saying. I guess the scary part about it all is that you're probably not the only one that's in that type of a situation.
Oh, no,
I mean, everybody is suing everybody, from hot coffee on your lap to, you know, blowing smoke in somebody's face at the wrong time or wrong place. I mean, it's really out of control, and it's somebody needs to reel this thing in and come up with some kind of legislation where, you know, actually people aren't suing people for just about anything, because I agree with you. It'll destroy the economy, certainly.
It will.
All right, Paul.
That's for my comments. I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Let's go to Ron in Lansing. Ron, how you doing out there?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Glad to have you aboard. Thanks for being a part of Night Call here on WRAF.
Actually, I hardly ever be able to catch this show. I'm actually in Detroit for school.
Oh, cool.
You
okay.
know, I live in Lansing, and I kind of do the whole gypsy living in my car floating thing right now.
Okay.
But now, you know, I wanted to flash back to the war for a second.
Sure.
And there's this one thing that always makes me mad about the whole deal, is that my older brother served in the first war, you know, and he was in the Marines.
You're talking about the Persian Gulf.
Yeah, and the
okay.
Persian Gulf. And, you know, we usually just call it part one. But
right.
when his platoon was called back, and it was platoons, you know, there were the troops in front of them, they were, he said, about 5 hours away from walking into Baghdad. And it always made me mad that they were that close to going into Baghdad in the first place. During the Persian Gulf, they had almost the entire world's support. I mean, you know, they had a real coalition that really supported them, and it was real countries, not just countries that owed us money.
That's a fact.
And it always made me mad that they didn't just finish it up then. And then there was always the, you know, they our government or the coalition, however you want to look at it, talked the anti-Saddam people into uprising against Saddam, and that we would go and support them, and then they never supported them, and then, you know, untold numbers of people were slaughtered because they didn't have the forces to take over Saddam without our backing. You know, when we had told them that we would back them if they did that.
Now, is your brother in Iraq? Is he doing a second tour?
Oh, you know, he's retired. He was actually injured in the first one. He got covered with diesel fuel when their vehicle exploded, and he got burnt quite badly.
Oh.
But he's back here, and there's something that apparently a lot of Gulf War, you know, about Persian Gulf War veterans have, where they have some type of a disease that, you know, they
reminiscent of Agent Orange that the Vietnam vets were suffering from.
Right, like he had a son before he went, and they've been trying to have another child ever since, and they've never been able to do it.
Wow.
You know, so I mean, and I don't know if that's something that's actually tied to that, or if it's just...
Well, I think it's something that a lot of people have looked into, and I think a lot of studies have been done. But if the government chooses to say that, yes, that's definitely something that's going on, and make some kind of a monetary, if they want to give money to the veterans that were there, I mean, I think if it was caused by that, then they probably should be dipping into their pockets and taking care of people. And, you know, I appreciate your call. We're going to wrap up the show. Well, you know what? We'll do one more. We got one more call coming in here, it looks like. Thank you very much, Ron, from Lansing.
No problem.
Appreciate that very much.
All right.
101 FM WRIF Night Call happening here, 313-298-WRIF. We'll grab one more call here if we can get that set up in time. And then we will wrap things up here in the next couple of minutes again. Peter Werby will be back with you this coming Sunday. It looks like that's it. All right, no more calls. We are wrapping up the show for this evening. Again, it's been a big thrill to get in here and get a little experience as far as doing some talk show stuff. And I want to thank Peter Werby and Doug Podell for giving me a chance to come in and be a part of what's been happening here for some 34 years in Detroit radio. And it's been a great experience. Peter, again, back with you guys on Sunday. You have a great one. Good night. Be safe.
You're listening to Night Call with Peter Werby.
There are so many choices in mortgages these days. For the first-time homebuyer and even for experienced homeowners looking simply to refinance, searching for a mortgage can be a frustrating and confusing time. Why not let Financial Independence Mortgage make your financing search easier? Financial Independence Mortgage provides you with all the relevant information about mortgages and will find you the perfect mortgage to fit your personal needs. It's as simple as filling out a one-page application, and Financial Independence won't make you wait long for your approval. Typically, you'll get a response within 24 hours. Get a free quote from all of the top lending institutions so you know you have a fair comparison of what's available to you on the market. You simply can't find a better, more thorough, more personalized way to ensure yourself of getting the best mortgage at the best rate possible. Competitive rates, very fast closing times, and Financial Independence Mortgage can handle exactly the type of mortgage to fit your personal needs, whether or not you have some blemishes on your credit. Find out today the difference Financial Independence Mortgage can make for you at 248-594-7582. That's Financial Independence Mortgage at 248-594-7582.
Tired of low-price LASIK ads that promise a great price only to find that it quadruples when you actually go there? Well, you'll never have that experience with Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. At the Lake Laser Eye Center, there are no gimmicks and no games. Only $9.99 an eye or as low as $33 per month per eye. You know your costs up front with no hidden charges. You receive top personalized service and see Dr. Combati himself at each visit. The Lake Laser Eye Center is not an assembly line designed to get people in and out as quickly as possible. They are committed to you and offer the highest standards of eye care using the state-of-the-art Visix S4 laser with active eye tracking. One visit to Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center and you'll understand why he's one of the most respected and accurate eye surgeons in Michigan. You owe it to yourself to receive the best care for the best price. Appointments are going fast. Call Lake Laser Eye Center today at 1-877-UC-MORE. That's 1-877-UC-MORE. Again, 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E. Or visit ucmore.com. These are your eyes, and this is the care you deserve. You've searched today like every other day for those annoying reading glasses. It's gotten to the point where you just can't see the newspaper without them. Well, now you don't have to search for your glasses anymore due to a new procedure from Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center called Near Vision CK. Near Vision CK is a safe, simple, 5-minute procedure that's usually done on one eye and for just $9.99 or as low as $33 a month. This exciting procedure will finally eliminate your need for reading glasses. Call Dr. Combati today at the Lake Laser Eye Center, 1-877-UC-MORE, to set up your free consultation. You'll see Dr. Combati himself, and he'll take the time to answer all of your questions and thoroughly explain the Near Vision CK procedure. That number again is 1-877, the letter U, S-E-E-M-O-R-E, or you can visit the website, www.useemore.com, for Dr. Combati at the Lake Laser Eye Center. And get ready to throw those reading glasses away.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Cafe West, specializing in fresh seafood, saltwater fish, Angus beef, wild game, and poultry, located on West Jefferson and Trenton.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full-price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We talk with former Philadelphia Eagle and current Pro Football Hall of Famer Chuck Bednarik, who many consider to be the last true two-way player in NFL history. Oh, God, was this cool.
Here's the thing about being a two-way player. When you play center, you make contact on every single play. When you play linebacker, you make contact on every single play. This so-called guy, you know, what the hell was his name? Thought he was a two-way player.
Oh, Deion Sanders?
Jesus, he couldn't tackle my wife, Emma. I understand they're talking about putting him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My remark is then, if he gets in, I want to get out of
here. Drew and Mike in the Morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff. 101.1 WRIF.
Riff.
Rocks.
Make your request.
Win cool Riff gear.
And schmooze with a coupon.
It's your all-request Riff rock and ride home with Big Daddy Arthur P.
Home of Motor City's one and only. Home of rock and roll.
101 WRIF. Riff.
Rocks.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tudo Ristorante on Erie Street in Windsor. If it's not on the menu, Tudo's chefs will custom make entrees to your liking.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.
Hello, how are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the Morning.
We made our annual Super Bowl calls, and to everybody's surprise, came up with ex-Lion coach and current Eagles offensive coordinator Marty Morningweg.
This is Marty.
Marty, it's Drew and Mike calling WRIF Radio in Detroit.
Uh-oh.
How you doing?
Ouch.
How you doing?
Well, getting ready for a game.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how much do you not miss Detroit?
Oh, no, I miss Detroit. Hey, to tell you the truth, right down there in Plymouth, we had some great friends, and my wife and kids enjoyed it very much.
Did you want to draft Joey? I mean, there's been so much debate over who wanted him, who didn't want him.
Well, it wasn't my call. I like Joey very much. I didn't have him quite that high. At that point, the roster had been torn down. You know, we were 6-passing that first year with 3 different quarterbacks, and you know, philosophically, I wanted to kind of build a defense, and we just were decimated at the corner spot. So
was Jammer the guy you wanted?
There was one of 3 situations. You know, it was not my call. The call was made for the future of the franchise.
Drew and Mike in the Morning. Broadcast program.
On the Riff. 101.1
Riff.
Rocks.
Capture occurred because all of those right-wing Christians would be out of here, and you got an incredible amount of hate mail, and you were asked to apologize.
Well, I thought I was being funny, you know, satire, but there were 30,000 angry letters reserving places for me in the lake of fire with numbers and letters.
50,000 came in?
About 30,000.
30,000. That's amazing.
Yeah, but it was a little campaign organized in churches by, the Christian Coalition, because they were taking on the media at the time, and they haven't stopped since, I suppose. Although I'm sure that a lot of the media has come around to their way of thinking, because they are quite intimidating.
Well, I can't believe that 30 rapture-believing Christians had actually listened to the broadcast. You think it was part of a campaign?
Well, 30,000 wrote in.
I know, but I...
But 30, no, actually the exact number who listened was 4.
Well, you have a brand new book out, a novel this time. It's called Wakefield, and we've talked about other novels you've done in the past. Casanova in Bohemia, I believe, was the last one. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you'll have to excuse me if I'm not inventive enough to be a poet or a novelist, so I may have asked you this before, but how in the world in your life do you find so much time to do everything that you're doing? If this is not too personal, what is an Andrei Codrescu creative day seem like? It might, Edison said that genius is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration.
Well, there are 3 things, Peter. one, I don't sleep. That has to do with the fact that I was born in Transylvania, and vampires don't need sleep.
There you go.
Two is that I can write and do everything else. Eat, fly, make love, give interviews, and have conversations. And three, I don't need to use a writing implement anymore because I've had a computer grafted into me, and all I have to do is close my eyes, and I can holographically project a keyboard and the screen, and then I just move my fingers a little bit, and up pops novel.
You know what I think the real element is, and you're the second or third person, because I'm fascinated by people that have a great amount of production. What I can do, essentially, is talk a lot. Doing other stuff beyond that, I never can do it. The constant is no sleep.
The constant is no sleep, and the other thing is that if you have somebody follow you around who types as fast as you talk, then you have lots and lots of text.
There you go. Well, how about the creative process? And we may have talked about this as well, but this is something that intrigues me. You have this steady creative output of poetry, of novels, this brand new one, Wakefield. In fact, let me get to this. I like the title of this one so much, although it's not. Yeah, The Muse is always half dressed in New Orleans, and you teach English at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge down the road. So how does The Muse work for Andre Codrescu? I mean, how all of a sudden do you get the idea for Wakefield?
Well, I can sort of see what you're getting at, Peter, but I'm not going to go that way. The Muse is always there, but I have a secret alchemical formula actually for turning excrement into gold. That was given to me in Transylvania when I was born. But yeah, I mean to actually pursue that some other way. You know, I mean, I have certain questions, and then when I ask them, I try to write to find out answers. And Wakefield is this book that tries to answer all my questions about the just deposed period of the 90s, the decade of the 90s, which seems like a dream now. I just, you know, I was trying to figure out what was it we lived through for 10 years. And Wakefield is a middle-aged guy who makes a deal with the devil in an attempt to try and find that out.
Anything autobiographical?
Well, no, because I don't make deals like that, you know. Could have been working for ABC News.
Yeah. Now, I've always wondered about those Faustian deals because people have read enough of Faust or similar stories to realize that the devil comes to collect his due, right?
Oh, yeah. But I think everybody who works for the major news agencies, everybody who's in government who has one-syllable names are all people who've made the deal with the devil.
Wakefield, and interestingly, because nonfiction, for instance, I remember when we spoke quite a few years ago about your return to Romania after the so-called revolution, the hole in the flag, and then there's always a subtitle, An Exiled Story of Return and Revolution. Wakefield doesn't conjure up much as a title, but I guess titles of fiction rarely do.
Well, actually, there are two buried secrets in the title. One is Wakefield is about as Anglo a name as you can get, and when you look at that cover and it says Wakefield by Andre Codrescu, however you spell that, it creates a momentary disorientation. And the other is that Wakefield is the title of one of my favorite stories in the whole world, is by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And it's just a three-page story that Hawthorne wrote in the middle of the 19th century about a London clerk who goes to work in the morning wearing a Hamburg and an umbrella under his arm, just like thousands of other English clerks. And then he disappears for 20 years and doesn't come home for 20 years. And one day he returns and knocks on his wife's door and says, I'm back. And it turns out that Wakefield, for 20 years, has taken quarters across the street from his old house and has hidden there and watched life go by. And I thought that was just an incredibly intriguing and interesting story by Hawthorne about the beginning of this, of the really the kind of industrial anonymous drudge, the London clerk who disappears in this mass of workers. And I thought, well, what? How about placing him at the end of the 20th century in the 90s, which seemed very appropriate somehow. And so this is my book, Wakefield, is Wakefield. It's Hawthorne's Wakefield Update.
My guest on the Peter Werby Show is Andrei Codrescu, commentator for NPR, poet, author. We're talking about his brand new book, Wakefield. I actually have the advance uncorrected proof. Has it been released?
It's out now, and the proof you have has certain very important things changed, including the last sentence.
Oh, all right. Well, that's interesting.
You never got the last sentence. Probably. It's not in the book.
I should tell people also that you're going to be in Detroit, a city that you spent, in fact, where we met years and years ago, and you're going to be reading from Wakefield at the Scarab Club, downtown Detroit. Actually, what do they call that area? The what arts? I can't even think of it. Where they right across the street from the Detroit Institute of Arts.
Right.
The Scarab Club, and in back of it on John R. It's going to be 7:30 Friday, May 14th. Why can't I think of what they call that area with the main library and Wayne State University? The Cultural Center. That's what it is. No wonder I had trouble thinking about it. So what, I mean, without giving away the book, I mean, that's why it's always a little difficult to talk about fiction with an author. How does, you said, you know, the anonymous drudge, I mean, how does that explain the 90s? In fact, in many ways, you think of the 90s of these very upfront dynamic characters making money in .com and, you know, and then culturally in music, really in your face. Where's the anonymous drudge come in?
Well, let me just say that I'm really happy to be back in Detroit because it's my formative city. I wouldn't have a language the way it works if I didn't first come to Detroit when I came to America. But as to your question, yeah, it is the 90s, and everybody believes in miracles, and there are plenty of charlatans around. And my character, Wakefield, is a motivational speaker. Of all things, he's a relative of all the tent preachers and snake oil salesmen of the 19th century. He goes around and makes up talks, but with a difference. The CEOs of certain companies have realized that the economy is overheated, the workers are overmotivated, and the fact is that Wakefield depresses them, actually. He doesn't motivate them very much. So they hire him secretly to kind of depress workers, to bring them down. And so that's a kind of a thing. This is, Wakefield knows this, and he does this, and yet because he's been doing it for quite some time, and everything seems to be on the move, and everything is shot through with surges of optimism. He suspects that a cataclysm is at hand, that there is actually a collapse, and in fact, all this faux joy in the workplace hides an incredible amount of drudgery and actual dehumanization and so on. And he feels this deeply, and so do people around him. But it's all covered up by this rara of the 90s that we still remember, but we won't remember for long.
Well, let's talk about a little about the 90s. Certainly in the liberal canon, C-A-N-O-N, I know you know that, not with the double N, but in the liberal canon, the 90s, particularly from 1992 to the year 2000, these were the good old days. These were the good society made whole and everything like that, and it's all been downhill since the election of 2000. But you're not quite as happy or share that sanguine view of the 90s, eh?
No, I don't. I think that the 90s were a golden age, very much like the Gilded Age that Mark Twain talked about, or a certain period at the end of the 19th century when a tremendous amount of entrepreneurs rushed to take advantage of new technologies, and there was a revolution in the 90s having to do with communications, and it is probably going to be remembered very, very fondly as a time of entrepreneurial opportunities, but it was also a time that hid a lot of changes that are structurally very damaging. Things like the entire changing nature of the economy from actual material, from the making of material things to a kind of an electronic dream, to outsourcing of jobs, to people kind of losing the sense of where they were because suddenly they were living in cyberspace. There was a lot of literal melting down of the physical world, and I think that now we're waking up from it and sort of saying, oh, what is my body? What is my house? What is my job? Where am I? And it's a time that philosophically, I think, undid everyone without people noticing it.
Well, everybody sees the network that you do your weekly commentaries on as being a liberal network. I heard Rush Limbaugh say, what do they mean? You know, the media is conservative. They have NPR. They got 30 million listeners. And so the suggestion would be that they're uncritical of those liberal figures that seem to typify that political philosophy. But you were, as I remember, how did you, let me put it this way, I'll ask you directly. I mean, how did you see, like, Bill Clinton and Al Gore?
Well, I saw them as middle-of-the-road Democrat Republicans. I didn't see them philosophically that I saw them as part of a new kind of government that represented the interests of a new economy. But there was still a battle between the old economy and the new economy, and it's still going on. And in a sense, the new administration represents a good deal of the old economy, which is oil and armaments and things of that nature. But Clinton and Gore were not, you know, particularly interested in the welfare of society at large. They just represented a different class of producers. And so they sort of amused me along with everybody else, and I was amused when the president's penis was the greatest news we had. You know, that's why it probably seems like a golden age now, when things like that kind of completely overwhelmed public awareness. But I always had a sense of impending doom, actually, when things are going so well. But maybe that's just my Transylvanian volcanic pessimism automatic.
Well, it may be, you know, as you're saying, when the greatest thing facing our nation is a crisis of whether the president told the truth or not about his girlfriend and whether or not he actually had sex with her, depending on how you define sex.
Yeah, boy, I miss those days.
Yeah, I was thinking, can you imagine any woman or wife in your life of trying to convince her that what they did wasn't really sex? I don't think that would have flown too well. But
not to the women I know, because they know better.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think Hillary probably knew better as well. Hey, Andrei Codrescu, you do a lot of media appearances, and I was looking at your website. You can just go to codrescu.com, am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and let me spell that just for people that may not know how to, don't know their Romanian very well. Codrescu, codrescu.com.
Yeah, I always tell people it's like code, secret code, and rescue at sea. That'll usually get them, but not, you know, that's what it sounds like, but you spelled it right.
There you go. And I think I've told you in the past, like you, I rarely watch television, but you certainly have been on all of these shows that I was just astounded, like you've been on the Letterman show. How did that come about? I mean, somehow the mixture of Andrei Codrescu and David Letterman.
Well, it must be my accent. They don't really hear what I'm saying. Well, I went on there because I made a film called The Rhodes Scholar, yeah. R-O-A-D. And I guess the publicity machine of the distributor got me there on Letterman and then Jay Leno and a few of those roles. But actually, it was quite interesting to see what that was like, which is to say nothing, really. I mean,
Well, I mean, like I said, it didn't seem like a mixture that would really work. I mean, were they, did you get the feeling they were comfortable with you? Because the film is, wasn't a mainstream film. It was an excellent film, and it's still, it's available, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. Well, you know, Letterman was not comfortable at all, and neither was I. And I was told by his producer I could only tell the two stories I told him on the phone. And when I got there, of course, I forgot completely what stories they were, and I told some other ones, and there seemed to be general panic around the set. So the guy is not as spontaneous as he seems. And then Leno was great, actually. He came to the green room before, and we talked about politics and stuff he'd read in the newspapers, and he seemed like a genuinely interested citizen.
Hmm. You know, I was just reading something that, and this kind of way out from left field, hey, where else would it come from me, right? About sexuality, because I know that that many of your novels concern, you know, different questions about sexuality, and many of it. Am I right in saying that that most of your novels are, as you indicated about Wakefield, your latest, these essentially philosophical / political investigations of what our lives are all about? Well, it used to be. Back in beginning like in the late 50s with the Bohemians, and then into the Beatniks, and then into the whole cultural explosion in the 1960s, that sexuality was part of a revolt. Now it is everywhere, and it is, you know, used to sell everything under the sun. So some artists, some cultural critics have been saying that actually the use of sexuality in art has become reactionary. In the way before its presentation was avant-garde, revolutionary, it's now had become full circle almost.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. Because sexuality, first of all, there are a number of sexualities, and secondly, it depends what relation the sexual statement is in vis-a-vis the culture around it. I mean, in the 1950s and early 60s, sexuality was revolutionary because everybody was so uptight, and things were considered unspeakable. Things about the body and sex are considered unspeakable, and then, of course, just, you know, as you've said, the advertising took as much sexual content as it could handle, and is bursting at the seams with it. And, you know, I think the artists, in order to stay ahead, have to create more and more subversive expressions of sexuality, or else, you know, asceticism being one of them. I mean, asceticism is a form of revolt. I mean, refusing, say, you know, the easy excitement of the Victoria's Secret commercials. I was sorry to see Bob Dylan finally give in, and it was a very sad day, actually.
I don't understand those guys. I mean, they must have trillions of dollars. Why would they do that?
That's what I thought too. I mean, what's the point? Now he's going to also be on Idol Worship, or whatever the show is called. Finding a New Idol.
Oh, American Idol.
Oh,
I've never seen it.
I haven't either, but I heard Bob Dylan's going to be on it, and I think it's because he survived his own. Maybe he's not Bob Dylan anymore. Maybe he's just a body that's animated by aliens or maneuvered long distance. I can't believe the Dylan I know and love is actually doing this, but, you know.
I always think of him in Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Right. Maybe he has a lot of cats or something.
Yeah. Andrei Codrescu is my guest just for a couple minutes more. And remember, Friday, May 14th, Andrei will be in Detroit at the Scarab Club in the Cultural Center across in the back of the Art Institute. That's where the Scarab Club is, 7:30 p.m. He's going to read from his brand new novel, Wakefield. And how do you feel about, I mean, poetry really demands to be read aloud. And I've always enjoyed your poetry readings. I wonder, though, about reading from a novel. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm going to leave out every third word.
Okay.
So it'll be just like poetry. Plus, the book describes the last subversive sexuality left. And we're going to frisk people at the door to make sure there are no advertisers there.
Okay, wait a minute. I suspect you're not going to tell us what the last subversive sexuality is. We'll have to...
Well, I have to read the book.
Yeah, I have to read the book. And let me see. I've got... Okay, it's Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill, which is a division of Workman Publishing. So you can pick that up. And it is on the stands now, or what do we say, in the bookstores now. And I always urge people to go to their independent bookstores first. I have on my website, if you go to books, peterwerby.com, you can get a list of at least several independent bookstores in Detroit. Have you ever experienced any censorship from the chains?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because... most of the chains put their the upfront books that publishers pay for placement.
Oh, in that manner.
And if your publishers don't pay for it, if they have your book at all, it will be under some nasty pile at the very end of the store.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've done, in fact, 30 seconds left for a question like this. You've done so much poetry, so much fiction in the last few years. Any one of the two a greater love than the other?
Well, poetry. I mean, this novel is just a big casing for a bunch of poetry.
Okay. Andrei Kodrescu, look forward to seeing you as usual. Friday, May 14th, 7:30 p.m., the Scarab Club Cultural Center in back of the Art Institute. Tom Robbins says of Andrei Kodrescu's new novel, Wakefield. Wakefield zigzags on wheels of comic brilliance, totally flattening a lot of useless architecture, physical and psychological, along the way. Andrei, as usual, thanks for being with me.
Oh, Peter, it's great talking to you. Let's talk forever.
This is the Riff's award-winning night call.
You're listening to WRIF.com.
Build it and they will come.
What'd you say there, Philip?
Build it and they will come.
Speak up there, bud.
I said build it and they will come.
Well, you're a gall-darned idiot. If you think just because you build a Harley-Davidson dealership, folks will just show up, you gotta give them what they want, for crying out loud. Out in Metro Detroit, this is Biker Bob, and I'm coming to Motown in March to bring you the newest Harley-Davidson experience.
Who's Biker Bob?
Oh, my gosh, it's
Biker Bob. Is coming to Detroit.
My new dealership is focused on one thing. Can do. Smiling faces serving all your Harley-Davidson needs, from sales to rentals, service to storage, clothing to chrome. Biker Bob has everything you need to keep you on the open road with the sun kissing on your face and the wind pushing your backside. Biker Bob's is always a fun place to hang out all summer long with good times guaranteed. Listen right here on WRIF for my 60-second late-night radio talk show for advice on your motorcycle questions. We're coming to Detroit March 4th, 2005. If you want more info, you can jump onto that there World Wide Web at www.bikerbobsharley.com.
It's coming to the Novi Expo Center on Saturday, April 2nd, the 4th annual Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by your Detroit Dodge dealers. If you own a company or retail shop, such as a skate shop, men's clothing store, fitness and health, tax service, sporting goods, jewelry store, music and entertainment, furniture, golf, gadgets, or anything that interests men, this is your opportunity to introduce your product or service to thousands of metro area men. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. Many special features and attractions will be announced soon. To participate in the Motor City Men's Expo as a sponsor or exhibitor, call this number now, 248-591-6841. That's 248-591-6841. You've got to be there. The Motor City Men's Expo, brought to you by Dodge. Grab life by the horns.
This is WRIF.com.
Hello. How are you?
What you missed from Drew and Mike in the morning.
We had Jamie Kennedy in studio, and he was telling us about his pre-celebrity days in Hollywood waiting tables.
I worked at this place called Veggie Gourmet. There was these two brothers that owned it, and they were from Brooklyn. They talk like this, you know, they do it. But they were vegans, but they were like the Sopranos. And it was so weird.
You eat all the soy sauce. You eat all the soy tofu. Who would you eat the tofu for?
So Ron Jeremy would come in, and when he'd come in, they'd go, "Hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ron Jeremy." And like they would clap for him. Like there was like one person in the room. Like, it goes, "Ron Perlman."
Yeah.
And then they turn to me. They go, "Hey, idiot." I go, "Treat Ron. Give him anything he wants. Okay? He's really good people." So a hedgehog comes in. Ron would be on the phone and be like, he's like, "Yeah, hold on a second. Do you have organic apple juice? That's organic, right?" All right, I'm going to have that. Yeah, hold on. Okay, wait. What time is the orgy scene?
Drew and Mike in the Morning. Yes. The broadcast program.
On the Riff.
Detroit's Rock Station 101 WRIF and WRIF.com bring you the hottest deals in the Motor City. You are now one click away from dining at some of your favorite restaurants for only half price. Dine online and eat for less with WRIF.com. Save a ton of money with some of Metro Detroit's premier restaurants.
Like Tenney Street Roadhouse, located on West Village Drive in the heart of West Dearborn. Tenney Street Roadhouse features great American food and great American music.
Log on to www.wrif.com. You can purchase full price gift certificates to area restaurants for only half price. But quantities are limited, so you better act fast. It's all from the station that delivers you more. 101 WRIF, The Riff.
101 WRIF gives you the best deals in Detroit at WRIF.com. Check out special offers and savings from Motor City businesses like Buddy's Pizza, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Come into any of Buddy's 9 metro area locations today and enjoy one of the nation's 5 best pizza places as recognized by the Food Network. Buddy's, Detroit's number one pizza since 1946. Log on today and save with the home of rock and roll at WRIF.com.